Everybody, everybody, get into it. Get stoked. Come on. Get retarded. Come on. Get retarded. Yeah. Get retarded.
Just get retarded.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, hi there.
Greetings, one and all. It's your old buddy. What's my name? Oh, it sounds so good. The good news is they've removed my feeding tube long enough for me to host Best Of today. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Best Of Don and Mike. It's a rainy day here in Washington, D.C., but don't worry, we got some great Best Of Don and Mike to get you through. Yeah, you bet. Get you through. And remember, folks, those aren't raindrops. Those are just God's teardrops, disappointed in how you turned out. Okay, getting started. Don and Mike discuss the Redskins Player Club at WJFK. I believe this was a gimmick, some sort of some scam to get the sales up, because they love the money here at WJFK. So it's a sales scam here at WJFK. It's our home station. We love it, and it's the best of Don and Mike.
We've worked at this station now for how long, 12 or 13 years?
30.
40, 14, something like that.
Yes. A long, very, very long time.
There was a time whenever, I said like Morning Freedom, time. There was a time.
There was a time when we were treated like fine wine.
There was a time when everybody was on the same floor together, meaning right. The programming people, the DJs, the program director, the production people.
Everybody.
Everybody was on the same floor as the sales people and all the muckety-mucks, the management guys.
There was a time of constant interaction.
What they did was they moved us to our separate quarters. Uh-huh. They moved, and, you know, the way I look at it, they moved all the creative people, uh-huh, all of the people who think, as they love saying, outside the box.
Yes.
They moved all of them upstairs. Uh-huh. And all the dimwits who just know how to run around in circles, they kept them downstairs.
Okay.
Now, it used to be that, and I call them the circles because they run in circles. We're squares. Now, not because we're square, we're not hip, it's just
okay.
We refuse to fit into that slot.
The round hole.
On the retard at this radio station, where you see somebody and you bust their chops and they bust your chops.
And somewhere also along the line, it got confused that we were not, somehow our image here, our in-house reputation, was modified. And I'm going to blame others because it was not modified by us.
Oh. Here's the thing.
We were the same idiots that we always
did. This wasn't what I was going to get into, but it's a good sidebar. A lot of people hate
us. We were people coming in the door here, the way we understood it, and this was passed along to us. People coming in the door here were warned not to have contact with us.
Yeah, I have to say that based on my personality, the way I'm with people, I know that this is the perception that they've thrown out. I have to be 100% upfront about this. I've done nothing to change that perception. I know that perception is there. I kind of dig the fact that most people, for whatever reason, are freaked out. They're afraid to talk to me. They're afraid to make eye contact with me. They're afraid to say anything. They're afraid to come up to our office.
But you, while you say that, I know that you're like me. You liked it at other radio stations that we worked at, and you liked it when it was here,
mm-hmm,
and everybody was kind of wild, and you know, people would bust our chops. Because you know what? It was good for the show. It really was.
Alan does stuff like trying to have these forced dumb, rally parties now. And the thing is, it used to be something that would just happen because we all mingled together.
We used to have people come in, sales guys would have fights on the show, and, you know, it was wonderful.
Yeah. So my advice to him would first be, if you really want this place to settle down, mingle us back together. You know, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Put the different people in with different people. Put some salespeople up on the creative floor and let some of the creative people, and yes, there's a slant inferred there that the creative people work on the programming.
Let some of the car salesmen work in the mechanics area.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the drivers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, see how it really works in the pits.
Because really, I mean, there's so little contact. I mean, physically, it's impossible to have contact with people.
So having said that,
not impossible, but you just don't,
very difficult. Yeah. I noticed something yesterday. It cracked my ass up. And I called that Mike back to look at it. As you go back through, and again, because our office is upstairs on the third floor, mm-hmm, where the program director is, there's a couple office people, Ron and Fez are up there, Chris, the production guy's up there, mm-hmm, Cameron's up there, all the programming people are upstairs. So we very rarely come down back to, especially to this back area where the salespeople are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, Alan called me into his office yesterday to yell at me about breaking that Bill O'Reilly tape.
Right. Yes.
The one where it says you pay $20 to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, I'm supposed to say, that's a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was you, uh-huh. I'd go to the bank today, and I would take out all of my savings.
Sure.
I'd wipe it out just to buy a ticket.
Well, we're going.
If you have to.
See the great Bill O'Reilly.
Speak. We're going. We'll be in the front row. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when he gets done yelling at me about that, I walk out of his office, and because I'm very rarely down at this part of the building, I look up, and I notice there's a banner.
Yeah.
There's a banner, and it looked like something from high school. Like if there was going to be a dance, like
a rally or
Sadie Hawkins dance or
something. Something Tracy Flick would have done.
Yes. Yeah, see, it's construction paper. It's banner paper that goes from one side of the wall to the other.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it says entrance to
the Players' Corner?
Players' Club or Players' Corner?
Yeah, it's like the Players' Corner.
And it says it's for
All-Stars. Players Corner All-Stars.
Now, keep in mind that the salespeople that work on the second floor of this building, they're in crappy cubicles.
Right.
And for my money, it doesn't matter if you're in a crappy cubicle up by the Xerox machine or if you're back by Alan's office or if you're in a crappy cubicle back past where Joan and Robbie do their work.
No, really, what I've noticed is some of the better salespeople here that have been here a long time, what they value more than being in a section of the building is to, you know, just put like plants in front of their cubicles so that they can hide.
Yeah,
more hiding.
The question is, what's up with this Players Club? And I think the reason I'm playing the NFL music is I think the sign says locker room.
Yeah, I think Redskins Radio locker room works to that effect.
Or never, you know what? I'll send Joe.
Players only.
Hey, Joe's got a cell because we could get him on the line in the room, the office. Hey, Joe?
Yes.
Would you run down by the Redskins Radio sales and read us what it says on that banner?
Of course. I'll call you on the snow line.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. There he goes, Joseph Artinger. Now, while he's on his way there, I'll tell you that there were two members of the staff when I went back to show Mike the sign yesterday. And Mike,
we got a big kick out of this. Two members of the staff, when they saw us laughing at the sign, they laughed at the sign.
You bet they did. And I don't want
they to, laughed out loud, and that was a special moment.
I don't want to out them.
Yeah, we can't bust them.
Let me just call them without giving their names out.
Sure.
That'll be nice. Miss X.
We use that machine to disguise their voice.
Right.
We don't have a machine to disguise their voice.
Colonel, you're crazy.
Oh,
you're crazy. I love you. I thought it was funny when you guys laughed at the sign.
Oh, they're afraid to pick up their phone. Hi. Joe?
Hello.
Hey, hello. Are you back there?
Yes.
Oh, it's Joe, everybody. Joe. Welcome to the Joe Show.
Joe, can you read the sign for us?
All right, here we go. Redskins Radio Sales Locker Room. Players only.
And Joe, does it now? Does it look like it's a computer font that's printed this out, or is this like Kindergarten Cop?
It's like Sharpie marker.
Sharpie marker. Looks like Kindergarten Cop.
The way when I first saw it, it reminded me very Little Rascals. Just there's no letters facing backwards.
The sign is strung, it's like you would see a sign strung over a street in a small town,
exactly. or
with an upcoming parade.
Or like I remember in high school, if it would be, you know, we're playing whatever the school. Beat the Tigers this
over
week.
The main hallway in the school.
Right.
Right.
The Highlanders.
Kind of draped across.
From hanging from one locker on another locker.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, Joe, it says?
It's, okay, first of all, let me just describe it. It's two pieces of construction paper hung up with paper clips. It says Redskins Radio Sales Locker Room Players Only, Johnson, Gorgie, Spahn, Eaton, Hicks, Herr, Davenport, Hedges, Schreck, and Alan. And Schreck must have been spelled wrong because they took another piece of paper and put it over the old stuff.
So there was a misspelling.
So how many names are up? How many names are up there where people can go back into this special area?
10 players, Don.
They've got 10 players back there.
All now, right. are there empty spots for future names?
Sure, you could actually get a whole line underneath the first line. And that's the other thing. The name Alan is all the way on the bottom at the end. It's like they couldn't even get them all across.
Joe, do us a favor and walk back into this exclusive area and tell us what makes it different than any other area of the radio station where people would want to, and the goal here is, the way it's been explained to me, this is for morale, that if you go out and you sell enough commercials,
uh-huh.
that you get put into this club and you get your desk back in this little special area of the radio.
And anybody else that's not in the club is forbidden to be back there.
Correct. And
that's why, like, when I was back there with you, I took my toe and put it over the line.
Good for you.
Very dangerous, Mike.
Yeah,
I thought that toe would get blown clean off.
I thought there'd be some sort of elaborate security device.
So Joe, walk on back there.
Yes, I'm here, and of course you know Paul Gorgie's desk is back here.
Oh, he's one of the chosen ones. Are there any of the chosen salespeople who are at their desks right now?
Yeah, there's a few right here.
Does Paul Gorgie have tanning bed eye goggles on his desk?
He's not here.
Get an extension from someone who is there,
okay.
And I'll give them a call on the inside line.
All right. What's your extension here?
Joe.
He's so Joe.
Joe.
Now the sign says locker room. Does it smell like
835,
one?
835, Don.
835, and who's that, Joey?
I don't know this guy's name.
All right. Thanks.
No one does. We'll
meet him together. Thanks, Joe.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Okay, 835.
Is Slap Happy Ed Pappy on the list?
No, he's not a Redskins guy.
Oh, he's not a Redskins guy.
This is Jeff.
Jeff, hi.
Hi, Jeff.
This is Don and Mike. How are you?
How you guys doing? I'm doing well, thanks.
Listen, congratulations on being in the...
Players Club.
Super Players Club.
I appreciate that.
It's the locker room. Is that an exclusive area back there?
Yeah, I think so. I think Hedges wants to make it as exclusive as possible.
Okay, and can you tell us, Jeff, what makes it exclusive? What makes it different than sitting in a cubicle over by Julie's office?
The cubicles are smaller, I guess.
Oh, do you have more office space?
No, we got a lot less office space back here. I don't know. I don't really see any difference.
So the idea of putting the names underneath the Players Club and highlighting them, what significance does that have?
You know, you're going to have to talk to Jeff about that because I'm really not sure.
Right. Now, hold on. Now, you're a member of the club.
I am a member of the club.
I don't think Jeff would be real happy if a member of the club didn't know why he was a member of the club.
Now, do you feel superior over those who are not in the club?
I do not. I do not at all.
Ooh. You do not? You do not?
Are you a new member of the club?
No, I've actually been here a couple seasons.
You've been here a couple of seasons.
Do we
know you?
You call me the big goofy guy that walks around, yeah.
Are you the guy with the goatee beard, the big tall guy that doesn't play golf?
No.
This is Jeff Hicks, right?
Yeah, Jeff Hicks.
Are you the guy with the scar?
The scar?
Hey, there's a guy with a goatee and a scar.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the guy who looks like the commish?
No, it's a different guy. It's a different guy.
Yeah, I think
Jeff Hicks always looks like he's maybe had a haircut a few weeks ago, but it's not quite right. Dark hair. Focus. Look, Jeff, why don't you come over near the...
Jeff, come to the window, please, so we can identify you.
All right, you got it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
Jeff Hicks.
Anyway, you know Jeff Hicks?
Yeah, you'll know him when you see him. Goofy is a good one.
He's been here for 2 years. I'll recognize him. Dom will, too, maybe.
Yeah, we might.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Because you're such a man of the people compared to me around here.
I walk the floor.
Not me.
I walk the floor.
I proudly hide.
I bet Jeff Hicks will be here any minute.
Here he comes.
Yes,
walking from the exclusive area.
We didn't invite him into the studio. We invited him to the window.
Right. That's right.
But the hallway.
We'd have to look in before we can allow him.
We're going to have to get to know him first.
But come on, get up here.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
Yeah, I know him.
Hey, come on in.
Yeah.
See the hair?
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Okay. Let me just describe this guy to you. This guy kind of looks like death warmed over.
Right.
This guy looks like he woke up late this morning. It looks like he... Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Jeff, you've been here for 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah.
The look, I would say, would be a harried executive, slightly disheveled. Maybe that's the look you're going for, the look of working.
Well, not exactly. I haven't had any time because being back in the locker room there, I haven't had any time to get haired yet.
Right.
But you
kind of stay to yourself, right? And, you know, would you describe yourself as under the radar here a little bit?
Yeah, I would say a little bit.
Yeah, a little under the radar.
Why is that you like to be under the radar?
No, I mean, not necessarily under the radar but just walking past. I don't want to get picked on and get pulled in like I'm getting pulled in right now.
Oh, he's been trying to avoid this. I think Jeff, my read on Jeff would be that he really... Of a lot of guys back there, he wouldn't want to be where he is right now.
I think he's a little Clark Kentish. Mm. If you look at him, he has a little mousy reporter look to him.
And then you think maybe
not a chance.
Do you think he cuts loose on the weekend? Well, like being the Superman part, being the party part.
Oh, yes.
Do you party hardy?
Yes. Right?
I turn it up every once in a while, yeah.
Do you hang out with Steve Johnson at all?
No.
No? Good man. No.
You know, Steve parties
definitely
all the time.
Not, he said. I like that.
Steve parties all the time.
Yes, he parties always.
The rumor is out.
Okay. All right.
So you're in the exclusive... when you're back there, do you sit with other salespeople and go, isn't this great to be in the exclusive Players Club area?
We say this is the most wonderful thing in the world.
How come no one back there has said to anyone in management, my words, not yours, seems to be like a silly fifth grade type thing.
As Mr. Hedges calls it, arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts.
Huh. Yeah? Are you afraid of Mr. Hedges?
Some days.
That's a good answer.
That is a good answer. What about today? What about right now? Are you afraid of...
I haven't seen him. I've only seen him once.
Let's say he's listening.
Hey, you know what? Hey, don't worry about it, Jeff, because it's Jeff, right?
Yes, you got it.
We're afraid of Jeff Hedges.
Let's say that Mr. Hedges is out driving his vehicle loaded with hundreds of guns, loaded, ready to shoot it at what he says is wildlife. Let's say he's listening right now, and he's cleaning one of those guns.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about him?
He's a great man.
Yeah. Really.
He's your immediate supervisor, and he's the guy who thought up the
You know, Jeff, you're doing just fine now. You know, you really are. You're doing very well.
You know, some of the, I don't want to say who, but some of the girls, when I showed Mike the sign yesterday, we were laughing at it. They laughed at it, too.
Right.
Some of the girls who have an office back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it his idea?
I believe so, yes.
Oh, we're in trouble now. Yeah.
We're all in trouble now.
You know, there's a lot of shallow graves out there in Middleburg, Virginia. You know, where Jeff lives.
Yeah.
A lot of holes in the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are a lot of problems buried in those holes.
You're really uncomfortable, aren't you?
No, not necessarily.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you lying?
No, not really. Not really.
How'd your shirt get so wrinkled?
Yeah, when you're not on calls all day, you're in the car a lot.
So you've been here for 2 years, which is, in many cases, a lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a survivor, obviously. So you know the system backwards and forwards.
Were you told not to speak to us?
I know when to talk and when not to.
Were you told not to speak to us?
No, not at all.
You were not?
Not at all.
Not at all.
How come nobody told him that, Ron? I'm kidding. There is no such policy.
Jeff, any thoughts as to how we can just liven it up around here? Don's thought, of course, was to mix everybody together.
To merge the tribes.
Merge the tribes to have salespeople and programming people together. Would you have any thoughts, or do you not want to be bothered with that?
Well, I don't. You know, I guess that's not really my concern. My concern is...
Mm-hmm. Is just selling time.
Selling time.
Yeah.
Selling time.
Quota. I think they're making some good steps with the ice cream social and the margarita Fridays. Definitely.
You are just such a company suck-ass. You really are. And one last question. Out of all the people back there, is the problem child named McWilliams?
Yeah, I've seen him. Yeah, I've seen him getting into trouble a couple times. Sure.
You know, he used to be a regular on the show, Tim McWilliams, the singing salesman.
I believe that one of the problems would also be that Tim McWilliams has retreated.
Yeah.
He's retreated from us.
He's one of the few ones that used to actually come up to the third floor, sit down on a couch in our office, you know.
And hang out.
Bum a cigar, and sit down and chat for a while.
Yeah. Spunky.
Until his neck started bothering him.
Uh-huh.
And then he would get up and leave.
Yeah, you know, I think really the message that we have to get to everybody here is, you know, in the words of Don Rickles, we kid because we love.
Mm-hmm. And you know about Tim's, you know about Tim's neck, right?
I do.
Like, he's got this thing with his neck that he can't move his...
Yeah.
If he wants to move his head to talk to you, he has to move the whole body to talk to you.
I wonder how he's riding that new motorcycle.
Well, yes, he's faking it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you picked up on that, Jeff, which I think is a good thing. Yeah, he's faking the whole thing.
All right, Jeff, well, going back to the... to the great Bat Cave.
Yeah. Jeff, you know, actually what comes out of this is now we feel that we know you better. So that's a good thing.
Give me a shout anytime. I'm happy to.
No problem.
Are you mobbed up?
Am I mobbed up?
Are you mobbed up?
Could be.
Okay. Could be? I don't think so. Not with a shirt that wrinkled.
The Hicks crime
it's
family.
It's humid out there.
It's humid out there.
He's out on the streets. He's selling time.
Right. Well, how come you're not like Robert De Niro in Casino? What you got to do when you get to the office, take off your pants, put them in the closet, take off your jacket. If you have to, you press your shirt.
Yes, we could do that in a locker.
And how about bringing back Casual Friday?
I think
that would mix the groups because, you know, we're always casual, and that would mix the groups a little bit.
You know, when Alan was yelling at me the other day, another day he was yelling at me, which was Friday, I was busting his balls because he was wearing, you know, for him, what is casual?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he loves casual.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Who's your best client?
My best client?
Who's your best client?
We used to do this, too. When people would come in, we'd always say, give him a plug.
You can only pick one, knowing that all the others will say, how come you didn't pick us?
Jerry's Ford.
Jerry's Ford.
No hesitation, Jerry's Ford. Rob, there's no need for that.
What?
Well, Rob's mobbed up, too, right?
Yeah.
Rob is more mobbed up than anybody around here.
All right, well, you're off the hot seat.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us.
Good job. Thank you, Jeff.
Back to the players. What's it called, the Players Club?
I guess so.
Nobody's really clear.
He guesses so. All I know is that they've got great ideas about morale around here.
Yeah, they do.
Hello, Mike.
Hello?
Don and Mike's show. Hello, Mike.
Don.
Yes, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing very well.
I hate to rain on your parade. I know you guys are having a good day today, but my fiance forwarded me an email today. She's on one of these mailing lists for the Hollywood Reporter or something like that. Mm-hmm. And your buddy Seacrest got a 3-year extension until 2007 for that god-awful show of his.
For on air?
Yes, sir.
Really?
You know, you called it before the break. I mean, before you went back on the air, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's going to be entertaining the masses for 3 more years, buddy.
Well, who the hell reported? Where's our source for the other stuff?
Was our source the joke service?
No, it was the complete sheet.
What's the complete sheet?
Another one of these dumb prep services.
Another prep service.
Another prep service that we're not taking, but we just get the dumb stuff
from
them. But
this was their first misstep.
Was it not?
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. Hey, thank you for the call, Mike.
Oh, no problem. Hey, can I ask you a question before I go?
Sure.
I'm going to be up in Pittsburgh next week. Do you know what powerhouse station you're on up there so I can listen to you guys?
I do, 1550.
1550.
Uh-huh. You know, I get a lot of people in the Pittsburgh area ask me that all the time. And I'm proud to tell them that. I don't care that it's a POS AM station.
No.
Here's the bottom line. You want to go to Pittsburgh? You want to hear the show? Get yourself a freaking radio. Turn on 1550. That's where we are.
You got it, buddy. I'll have you tuned in.
All right. See ya.
Oh, all right. You know, this just in.
What?
American Idol got canceled last night. It won't be on. It won't
again?
Be on for its last episode.
Wow. The one guy calls in. You know, we had calls yesterday that said the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Let's
yes.
see what happens.
You know, it works either way. If the show's canceled, then
maybe that guy was lying just now.
Maybe that was Ryan Seacrest.
Then we're a step ahead if it was canceled. If it wasn't canceled, then it's funny that the
I don't buy it. Wait a minute. Think about it. It would be,
but it's still,
it would be not unusual for a show to be canceled. It would be highly unusual for a 3-year contract with. How long has that show been on?
Like 8 months.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe
he signed a 3-year contract with American Idol.
Could be.
I'll check on that. But you know, I haven't seen anything in the last 24 hours that says the on air has been canceled. I mean, the only thing I've heard or seen about that is what we heard here.
Hey, but guys, what is funny in all this, regardless of if we're right or not,
right?
We made up inadvertently or not. The general manager from Channel 20 thought it was true.
Yeah, we gave him.
Hey, look, it's Shondell.
We have another salesperson that's coming in.
Hi, Shondell. What?
Right.
Shondell, Channel 20 is your client.
It is.
Right.
The vice president, Steve Houck, just emailed me and said that Ryan is not canceled and there are no current plans to cancel.
All right, hold on a second. Thank you, Shondell.
Sure.
Shondell, are you in the club?
The Players Club?
No.
All right.
You don't want to be in it?
No.
Yeah, good for you, Shondell. Kirk. I know this guy's got the news on who got re-signed. Kirk.
It wasn't Ryan Seacrest, it was Carson Daly.
Right, I got that on a list somewhere. Carson Daly's show got renewed for 2 years.
Man, I wish we had that other guy on the line. Hey, I hate to rain on your parade.
And listen, no offense to Sean Dell, and no offense to the guy at Channel 20. Let's stick with the story that Ryan Seacrest's show is canceled. Let's stick with that story. Okay?
I'm going to swear to it.
Okay. According to what
Rod, you had a look on your face. You were ready to bail on it, though.
No, you know what? I turned around on it. It's the complete sheet.
Oh, no, come on. Tell me, because I wasn't looking at him.
He looked like it was the complete sheet. It's kind of like the complete sheet, like you didn't.
Well, I mean,
but you didn't have a lot of faith in your complete sheet.
Well, we're not paying for it. But know what? The more I think about it.
Hey, that's how I base all my decisions.
I'm going to say
it's free, it's true.
We're not paying.
If it's free, it's true. Hey, you know, does fall in to the spirit of this radio station, though.
If it's free,
it's got to be good.
If it's free, it's me.
That's true enough. But no, I'm going to swear to it. They reported it, and I stand by the complete sheet.
How much do you want to stand by it?
I stand by it.
What are you willing to do if it's
82%.
If we get it confirmed, 82%.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to put something on the line?
No. I would not.
You wouldn't.
No. But I can swear to you that they said it. Doesn't mean that much to me.
You know, Rob, there was a time, oh boy, you know, here's the thing. I'm too fond of you now. There was a time years ago that we would have made him go outside and wear something and do jumping.
Well, wait a minute.
Bet.
Hold on a second. He is more of our group now, but you and I have both subjected ourselves to ridicule in recent memory.
Well, I just...
But Rob said he's getting 82%, so I don't think he's going to stand by it anyway.
No, I mean, and frankly, I don't care. I mean, now I got something from Channel 20 that says no before that, so who knows?
Let me give you a lesson. I'll stand by it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stand. What do you want the bet to be?
It's not a bet, because, I mean, I don't know.
I'm not saying, care either.
I don't. I'm also standing by...
I don't... It's not that I don't care. It's I don't know. I think I'm not strongly saying, oh, he's definitely not canceled.
I think Fantasia's getting voted off American Idol tonight. Mm-hmm. I'll stand by that. I don't see why the Ryan Seacrest show is on. It's on at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's geared at 15-year-old girls. All the ratings that I've seen stink, so I'm not surprised if it would be canceled. So I say, yes, the Ryan Seacrest TV show is canceled. This just over the DNN, the Donnie's News Network.
There you go.
My correspondent, Rob Spiewak, says there's an 82% chance that this show has been canceled.
Pretty strong.
And 100% of America says they don't care if the show is canceled or not. So anyway, congratulations to all of those who were in the players' locker room here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good work. And that it was nice to meet Jeff. I think after Jeff personifies the new WJFK.
The can-do.
The can-do.
The can-do effort.
You know.
Right here at the happy 106.7 on your dial.
Really speak when spoken to.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And hey, Mom, after school, the kids really love fried monkey fingers. Grab it by the tail, throw it in the skillet. Tasty, nutritious, in just 20 minutes from cage to plate. Mmm. Monkey. It's what's for dinner.
The Don and Mike Show.
Whoa!
What say you, Judge?
You are a prying, pipsqueaking ass.
Thank you so much. One more from the judge.
Where did you find these Packer Woods?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't reckon it'll happen again for months and months and months. The Don and Mike Show.
Check that. Make it the best of Don and Mike. With your old buddy Rob Spiewak sitting in here playing the best of Don and Mike. So get you home through the raindrops in a hurry with a smile on your face. We heard in the last break there is some legend that people that work at the mighty WJFK, our home station, should stay away from Don and Mike. What of that legend? What say you? The legend of Don and Mike on the best of Don and Mike.
Let's call back to Alex Jimenez.
Very good.
Because Rob told me that Alex told him that J-Dubs was told not to speak to us.
Right.
When he was hired.
Hey, it's Alex.
Alex, Don and Mike.
Hey there.
So, your friend J-Dubs.
Yes.
He was told that, and now we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Good.
I promise we won't spend a lot of time on this, but this is fascinating.
Yeah. We have a rap here, and it's been a source of frustration for us for quite some time.
Alex, when was J-Dubs told not to speak to us?
He actually is here right now. He told me he was told this when he very first came and joined the JFK staff.
Wow.
Wow. Would you send? Is he here? Have him come in, if he wouldn't mind.
And if he doesn't want to rat out the person,
I want him to rat out.
Yeah. Well, he probably won't do that.
I bet he will.
You're going to rat out the person that told you not to speak to us?
Yeah.
Oh, good he is. He's nodding. Good.
Oh, good. Hi. So who told you that?
The morning board op, Greg Edger.
Greg Edger! Greg Edger.
And how did it, do you remember how it went?
He was just kind of giving me hints. He said, Don and Mike aren't very pleasant with new people.
That is great. So now listen, both of you guys, Alex, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, both of you guys work with Ron and Fez, who were on after this, after us. Mm-hmm. Is this where Ron and Fez, we never talked to them? Did they get the same lecture?
No, I don't think so.
Because we'd like to talk with them. We'd like to talk with, not everybody here. I don't want this to be an open invitation.
We mentioned this the other day, that when we worked at the other radio station before we came over here, and it's been a slow descent into this. Mm-hmm. When we worked at the other radio station, sales guys, everybody's coming and going. I mean, everybody's busting chops. Everybody, there's just a lot more interaction. And somewhere along the line, we got this rap. And we do keep to ourselves, but, you know, it's not like we have a shut door. We have an open door up there. And there does seem to be that rap. I think I know where it came from.
Where?
It came from a policy that we implemented when salespeople were coming up and pitching like spots to us.
Yeah, coming
and
into
it
the
got,
studio.
It got to a point where we said, hey, you know, we always have this happening, and we went to somebody and it got overblown, and then that blossomed into
memos.
Don't have any contact with.
Well, then let me ask you, because I know that I've seen you in the hall every day. I say hello to you, say, hey, dude, we talked about the Detroit Lions when you first started working here. How did you have the intestinal fortitude to go against what lowly Greg Edger had told you, to actually summon the courage to look at me and speak to me?
Well, that's what I realized. He was a moron. And
it was Alex.
That's a big laugh from everybody.
All right, thank you, J-Dub. Thank you. Nice talking to you. You too, Alex.
Hey, Don, kind of one more thing, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Remember when we chatted with each other at the little ratings party that we had?
Sure.
It was so funny because every single person came up to me, be it Alan or Cameron. Oh, my God, did you just talk to Don? What was that like? What was it like talking to Don? I can't believe you talked to him.
It's ludicrous. It's insanity.
I tell you something. I mean, I didn't perpetuate this. I swear to God, I didn't perpetuate it. But it's kind of fun.
Hey, what are you looking at?
It's kind of... It's
I'm sorry, that was the new sales guy that just went by in the hallway.
A little intimidation. All right, Alex. All right. Thank you. Now let's find Greg Edger's phone number. I know we've called. The last time we had Greg Edger on the phone was one day.
Don Pomplos, the real enchilada.
One day we were taking calls, and some girl called, I remember from Wichita,
right.
And that Greg Edger runs the board for the Stern Show in the morning. He's not on the air. He's the guy that whoever the guy is at our station in Buffalo and Baltimore
right.
now.
Right.
There's always someone on the other end that's pushing the buttons for you if you got a syndicated show.
Right.
Well, with this show, I mean, it's like any show. It's on. It's trucking for a half hour. Mm-hmm. So Greg Edger's picking up the request lines.
Sure.
And one day one girl calls us up and she says, I'm looking for Greg Edger. Now, this was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Sure.
The guy runs the board on Stern's show in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he'd been having, I don't want to say phone sex. He was dating her, though.
Yeah, oh, really?
On the telephone.
They were having little phone dates.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's the last time we had Greg Edger on the show.
She's still here? Does he still work here?
I guess.
Because now, in Greg's case, I mean, Greg works crack of dawn in the morning.
We never see him. Oh, I thought you meant is he still here, still working here?
Still working here, yeah. Still employed, but not here in the moment.
And I think the last time his name came up on the show was it had been his lifelong dream to work with the Redskins broadcast team.
Right.
Oh, and do you remember he finally got the job to hold the parabolic mic?
Right.
And the Redskins had their first game away last year, an exhibition against Carolina.
Right.
And he missed the plane to Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then he didn't drive down to Charlotte the day after.
Right.
He just called Cameron and said, I just couldn't make it on time.
And that was the end of that.
You got him, Rob?
No answer.
No answer at Greg Edger's home?
Maybe he's sleeping.
With his hours?
It would be.
All right.
Where's he at? We got another number for him?
No way.
What is this?
Is that true?
Travis says, Travis, come in here, please. Travis Bickle.
A bulletin?
That we're going to get, Mike, we're going to get a piece of a recon now that's going to blow you away.
Really?
If, in fact, it's true. Let's call Travis Bickle as our next witness.
Is Travis upstairs?
I've got to call him.
Yeah, because he's running our dump button.
Oh, right.
He can't
who's on this phone?
That was me. I was trying to call Travis.
What's his number? Travis Bickle. You remember him from Taxi Driver. 889.
All right.
Anytime you need Travis, just dial 889.
Okay. Wherever you are.
From any phone, anywhere.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Howdy.
Hello.
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 How you doing, Travis?
Hey, boys.
Now, here you go. Travis Bickle. A man who was there.
Travis.
Travis, who is the employee who told you to stay away from us?
Well, as you guys know, when I first came here, I was working with the Libby Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if you all were on either vacation or doing a remote the first couple days I was here, but in talking to good friend John Pop, he gave me I was introduced to Rob, introduced to Broyhill, and then I said, wow, I can't wait to finally meet Don and Mike. And he said, well, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't just go running towards him.
Ow! Thank you, John.
There you go.
Thank you, John, for another knife in the back.
Right.
Ouch. Uh-huh. Ouch. Well, Travis, let me ask you again. As someone who has obviously summoned the intestinal fortitude to do it, did you feel proud when you finally agreed? I mean, how stupid
is
this?
I was a little hesitant, but I almost waited for you guys to acknowledge me before I thought, you know what, it's fine to go up and talk to them.
Of course it is. And Travis is one of the coolest people.
That's
Travis has the best Scott Shannon hello.
Hello.
Of everybody. Sounds like
it does. I love rolling in. He's just sitting up there. He's got to hit the dump button.
Over the years, it's been perpetuated, obviously, from a number of people.
Uh-huh. All right, well, thanks. We're going to try to call John Pop.
Bye, man.
Thanks, Travis. Bye-bye. Okay. And didn't John Pop want to throw his hat in the ring to be the producer?
He did.
He did.
He did.
Okay.
Interesting.
This one right here?
That's him at work, yeah.
Okay, well, you're going to have to ask for him.
Oh, phone's ringing.
Oh, well. That might be a ring back. A lot of times, if you call someone out
right
on one of the internal lines, you get the ring back. Rob's trying to call John Popp at work now.
Very good.
John Popp used to be the producer for G. Gordon Liddy.
Right. Well, now, I can understand, though, with John, where that would come from.
I can't.
Yeah, I can because
we knew John.
But he was working. Look who he was working
with,
for.
With Liddy. But it doesn't matter. John was in the BMSC.
Yeah.
John was in the Big Man Supper Club. John was...
John came to visit me in the hospital.
Right.
When I was, recovering.
Johnny.
John.
Gentlemen.
Hey, John. It's Don and Mike. John.
What's going on?
Okay, here's John Popp.
You're not going to believe this.
That's
again,
me.
He's incredible. Right?
Incredible.
Incredible.
Okay, Johnny. We're in one of these, it's just about morale around here, and we're up to this thing with the people being told not to talk to us. And we talked to Travis Bickle, and Travis says that you told him initially to stay away from us, not to talk to us.
Travis who?
Travis Adlin.
Who's that?
Travis. The big guy. The big guy.
Why did I say that?
He says that when he first started here and you guys were working side by side, you said
show. Not to approach them right away.
Exactly.
Don't go charging up to them, I believe, he said.
I think that was probably, more just helpful advice, you know.
Well, now why?
Not in a don't stay away from them, but, he was a little eager when he started, so I wanted him, not to get his,
Now, why is everybody, all right, hold on, John, we have another person now willing to rat out someone.
But this is good for us, too.
Here's Johnny, the production guy. John Norman, who told you to stay away from us?
I heard it from my old pal, Andy Rice.
Of course, Andy Rice.
Now, what did Andy Rice tell you?
Well, I don't know. It was when I started back and it was working in continuity, and I said the same thing like Travis did. I'm looking forward to meeting Don and Mike, and he kind of, I don't think you want to do that.
God!
Well, see, but it makes, but wait a minute.
Why
hold on,
it makes
no,
sense.
No, it
but
doesn't.
No, it does make sense.
No, it
because,
doesn't.
Well, it doesn't make sense to you that Andy would say that to somebody?
Okay, Andy Rice.
Andy hated us.
Andy Rice, yes. John Popp, no. Even Greg Edger. I don't think unless Greg Edger's sitting around with the dartboard with our pictures on it.
I
don't think he's got an axe to grind.
Not at all. No.
But see, I think it starts and then it just perpetuates.
Pass from generation to generation.
A lot of people start saying the same thing, and then it becomes Wendell.
Becomes legend.
Wendell's walking into the studio.
Oh, this might be good.
Hi, Wendell.
Just to clarify, I think what makes this possible is that you guys are kind of reticent. Since you don't go out and greet people, but wait for them to come to you. The legend's allowed to spread.
But Wendell, here was my first point, though. When there used to be the mixing of the genres, it would not be...
Oh, yeah, then it would happen.
It would not be unreasonable to see people. We're on the third floor.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I supposed to do? Come down and walk through the sales office and go, salespeople, hello, greet me.
At this point, you probably could with the train and attendance and everything else. Heralds in front of you with horns and stuff because that's the way your reputation has grown here.
And that's wrong, and there's nothing wrong with being, known as, that we are successful at this radio station. But in the old days, when it was just a little more, I guess we weren't in the business together that long, but it was just more laid back.
You know what it got?
I want to dispel all this crap.
Well, stop being Hirohito then. Go out and see your people.
What?
Okay, but so that's like a two-fold.
We're as accessible as two individuals can be here.
If people aren't cowed by your reputation proceeding.
That's it. But whose fault is that?
Yours. You got,
why?
No, wrong.
Why is it our fault?
You would be a classic example of the opposite of that.
How?
You
for the first 2 weeks that I worked here, Don looked at me like I was a process server.
Whose interpretation is that? Is that your?
Hi.
How do you know that I just didn't come out of a meeting while Alan said or Ken said something to
for
me?
For 2 weeks?
How do you know? Yeah.
Wait a minute. You are one of the scariest people I've ever met.
Wendell, you are.
You are one of the scariest people
I've ever met. Don't get mad, but you are like that scary NRA way.
Wendell, you are one of the scariest people I've ever met in radio.
And Wendell, now listen, I want to say this in my defense too. Yeah. You know me. I am a shy, introverted person.
I know that, and that works against you. That
to
really,
God.
And that really kills you in this.
Well, too bad.
Whoa.
Too bad for all you dopes. Just come upstairs and say hello.
Everybody in the office tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow.
Jesus Christ.
But look,
you can say that the reputation has been built up, but the reputation, as far as us walking around like emperors around
here. No, I'm not saying that you did anything.
It's never, ever, but that has never
happened.
Has Don been shy? Is Don a shy person?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But do Don or I, do we walk around like we're emperors? It does not happen. Never has.
But I like the way you said that. It was kind of royal.
Emphatic.
Never.
But what were you going
to say? Oh, F you, Wendell.
All right, what's your comeback to that, Wendell? What's the counterpoint?
I was saying that by not doing anything to actively dispel it, it grows.
Who cares? You know, but here's the thing. Who freaking cares? I'm a disc jockey.
You care. You spend, what, half an hour, an hour talking
We do care.
Yeah.
We do care. I guess I do care.
Okay. I guess I do care.
We have to.
Don?
How does Wendell
got to go meet the commenters.
You say something like that.
See, that's the crap.
You say, go see the commenters.
I know you're jerking our chain, but that doesn't help. But you know what? In real life, that kind of crap does get spread around here. Yeah. And it's been spread around for a long time.
And I think you're one of the spreaders.
Yeah.
I think you're a spreader.
I think you're at fault.
I think you are a spreader.
No.
Because you get real mad at me if I say a cartridge is broken in here. You come in here and look like you're going to shoot me. And it's nothing personal.
I'd come in here and look like I'm going to shoot you, and that scares other people from coming to see
you.
No,
you're scary.
This is just my issue with you, Wendell.
You are scary always.
You are scary
always.
You really are.
You are.
Thank you.
I would love to take an anonymous poll and see who thinks we're scarier. Are we scarier than Wendell?
Oh, come
on. Would have to be an anonymous poll.
Yes. We're the winners in that one by a landslide.
Yes, sorry.
By a landslide.
But duly noted, I don't doubt the reputation, but I do really, and I know Don does too. It's difficult.
So the next
place
we have social is at Don's house, right?
Wendell, listen. I am not amused. Please leave.
Your audience is concluded. Wendell is now on the floor gurgling. He's doing that gurgle laugh.
Please leave.
Yeah.
Get out of here. I'll be friends with anybody who wants to drag their ass upstairs. We're in the corner office, 10800 Main Street. I'm here at 1:30 every day.
And
come on by.
Hey, Wendell, just for the record, you know, you're getting a little too happy in this studio, if you know what I mean. We're talking about behind-the-scenes stuff, all right? Don't come bounding in here every time you want to do a little debate.
All right, John, well, thanks for ratting out Andy Rice.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Okay, and John Pop?
Yeah.
John Pop.
Oh, how could you do that to us?
Hey, I just want to let you know, thinking back on that, it was more of a professional courtesy because I didn't want an intern in there bothering you guys, you know, while you're doing your thing, you know. Because that would reflect badly on me.
Well, that might have been good judgment.
Professional.
All right, Johnny, we'll see you.
See you later.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Aye, aye, aye.
And truth be told, it never really hurt Travis. He did end up co-hosting the Liddy Show.
That's true for a while. Trev, do you remember that? Do you remember when the last days of the Liddy Show to be, Travis would have to prop him up, and you got a guy, I don't know how long Travis had been in broadcasting, like 5 minutes. All of a sudden he's on a national show going, well, Mr. Liddy, what do you think today?
Travis, I'll tell you.
Let me get my newspaper out.
Gordon. There was a lot of that. And Travis will really thank me for bringing this up. Hi, Travis.
Also, there was a lot of
little cue cards that said, breathe, Gordon.
Gordon, wouldn't you like to talk about Survivor?
I don't know. Travis is bringing an element to the show.
Right.
Travis,
Mr. Liddy, I think it's time to go to break.
What?
Mr. Liddy, I think we have to go to commercials.
Oh, of course we do. Well, thank you, Travis. You once again have corrected me.
Mr. Liddy, I have your Tupperware.
Andy Rice.
Chris Matthews is here. Would you please use the Tupperware?
Thank you. Yes, sir. Ah, sweet relief. Wonderful.
Okay, that's enough about this
think
place.
I think I've learned from this, and as we've learned before, and I have a conclusion to make.
What's that?
Nothing's changing.
No. Well, you know, whatever. We talked about it on the air.
Yeah.
I think it would be good for this radio station if everybody worked together.
That'd be nice.
I don't mean any of that jive like we all work towards the same goal. Screw that.
No.
I mean, just, you know, let's mix the people up around.
Interact.
Right. You know, and we'd be willing to have our office moved.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it meant coming down, we'd have to have one of the nice offices downstairs. But,
no, I'd love to move. You know what? I think that's a great idea.
Why don't we move downstairs?
I would. You know, that office up there is purgatory.
You know what office I'd like to have?
Which one do you want?
Alan's office.
And then move Alan into ours?
Move Alan upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
The corner office?
Yeah, because Hedges won't move out of his office. He's got that like a Broadway playhouse in there with all
He's got a beautiful office that he's large. Moved around.
He's got all of his stuff. I think the only office that's really going to work for
you. You know,
us,
though, there's nothing bigger down this hallway, is there?
No, there's not.
No.
No, so we're going to have to downsize. But we downsize.
But no, what I'm saying is this side is the traffic side. That's where everybody comes by.
All right,
to have it in Allen's. Allen's in a back corner where nobody can have contact.
All right, then let's get it on this side. Let's
put it in one. We'll take a smaller office on this side.
Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to get all of our furniture in there.
We do. We have to move.
And our television.
The love seat, the sofa, the television.
Wow. The desk.
Rob, do you think there's anything that would fit the bill down that hallway?
The booze, the CDs.
Maybe Steve Johnson's office.
Hey, that.
No, but Steve Johnson is also in the back corner where nobody has any contact back there. I hate to say what office would fit the bill.
Julie Fulman?
Yeah, but she'd love our office.
Oh, you bet she will.
She would.
She would.
She'd turn it into a harem. She'd love it. It's bigger. It's got a whole big window.
What's her number, Buzz?
Rob, does she have a fairly... She has a fairly spacious office, doesn't she?
Yeah. It used to be that phone closet that Goldstein was in.
451.
451.
And it's green.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can paint that.
I say that like we would do anything.
This is Julie.
Julie, it's not in mind. Have you been listening?
You know what? I heard you guys talking about Andy, but then someone came in my office.
Do you want to switch offices with us? You know we have that nice big office upstairs.
You know, we're having this whole talk about we need to be more, like, everybody has to be mingling around. You know, we have that big, huge office upstairs.
You know, I do love big offices, but I need to be downstairs with my peeps.
Yeah, see, this is the problem, though, Julie. Your peeps are down here, and our peeps are upstairs. And that's why
nobody mingles.
You know what? That is a good point.
Julie, when were you told not to speak to us?
Yeah, and you don't have to say who, but when.
Wait, are we going back to that thing with Teresa that one time?
Was it Teresa that told you that?
Remember that?
Teresa was told by Julie.
Whatever happened to her? Did Julie tell her not to speak?
I believe so, yes.
Mike O'Meara, it was not by me.
Regretfully, Teresa has passed.
Oh, she's no longer here?
Is she dead or did she get fired?
She's dead to us.
Neither. She is working at our sister station, WHFS.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, that's like Dead Woman Walking.
She's praying for death.
You get a gig at HFS, that's like nextstopresume.com.
Julie, I think we have to put everybody that works at this radio station into, one of those little die shakers and shake them around.
A raffle, a lottery, if
we
you
gotta,
will.
We got to shake it all up here just to get the, you know, the subject, you will agree the subject of morale has come up, I'm sure.
Have you seen that dumb thing that Jeff Hedges put up? That
in the Redskins area.
Yeah, the banner.
I don't really understand it.
It's goofy. It's goofy. Well, just think about it. We're willing to trade offices with you.
All right.
Okay.
I appreciate the offer. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
You know, Mike, it was 50 years ago this week that some very brave people down south had to do something to get this whole thing straightened out.
Yeah, it was very difficult. Integration, segregation.
And we're going to have to do the same thing here.
We're going to have to stop the segregation.
We're going to have to do a Trading Places with somebody.
Absolutely.
Or what's that other dumb show, While You Were Out?
Mm-hmm.
Something while Julie's on one of her incredible vacations.
Mm-hmm.
The next time she's out of town,
right,
we're going to have to swap.
Then they speed up the photography.
That's a distinct
song. During the break, I'm going to scope out the building. I'm gonna scope out down here and see where we might fit.
Okay. Good luck. Go find us some better real estate.
Because you know what I'm thinking?
What?
It'd probably be real tough, but because they have all the computers down there, but that traffic office in the corner.
Yeah, but you know what?
They wouldn't give up that space.
And they've got to also, I think they're about to reinstall new computers for the traffic system.
Because that corner office...
This might be the time to strike.
That corner office would be awesome.
They won't give that... Well, go do your magic.
Okay.
Go ahead. Find something for me, because I don't want to be away from you.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, you'd be upstairs, too.
I don't want that.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
But you'd come down and hang with us anyway.
Have you ever thought about what if we just moved Rob into our office?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be all right with you?
Rob into our office? He lives there anyway.
Yeah.
I need to play it makes sense, actually.
Right.
Right, we got an extra couch for Rob.
What?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. Absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Why?
No.
Why couldn't Rob move
enough. Hey, boys, you sleep together anyway. I mean, give me the... you and I have an office, please.
I know.
Please allow me that, okay? It's your office.
What if I asked him to leave when you get here?
Well, he is in there always.
But you're here only 30 minutes a day before the show.
God damn it. No.
And you are?
There. I dig my... No. The answer is no.
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 No. We're going to move down here. Where did this come? It gets back to you and your phone buddy again.
Stop it.
Listen,
don't you worry about him. I'm gonna squeeze you.
What, we're going to put a desk in there?
I'll get one of those.
A desk in there?
No, I'll get one of those beds that comes out of the wall.
Do you want me to move out?
No, I don't want you to move out, Mike.
Yes, it is.
No, I don't.
It's exactly what it is.
No, I don't want you to move out.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want you to be open-minded.
The first thing I see every day when I come in there, when I come around, is these giant calves when I come down the hallway. He lives there anyway. I want our office to look the same as it is.
It'll look the same.
All right. Are you going to move a desk in there?
No.
Another desk?
He doesn't get a desk. How about this?
How about if we get a, like an elementary school desk?
What would that be? Whatever you
hello,
wish.
Hello, hotline. Hello.
Hey, dude.
Oh, is this, oh Jimmy?
Your it's brother.
Your man?
Oh, goddamn. I'm up on a break. Do you have something to talk about? I'll call you right back.
Oh, no. I was just going to say I can hear you guys. And you guys sound worse than a bunch of truck drivers in a room.
A bunch of truck drivers?
Yeah, whining and everything.
Whining.
What I want, what, Jimmy, we're just trying to work out some new arrangements at the radio station.
Oh, okay. Well, I just picked you up. I'm up here in Whitewater, and I've been listening to you for about 5 minutes. Man, you guys sound worse than a room full of truck drivers.
Right, now, explain that. What do truck drivers do?
Oh, they whine all the time.
And what do truck drivers whine about? You're a truck driver.
Oh, man, cars, loading and unloading, just stuff like that.
Well, we're just trying to get everybody together here, and it's deteriorated.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm losing my office.
You're not losing your office.
What it sounds like.
You're not, okay.
I know it's what you want, but that's okay. You know, I don't need an office. I don't need. I'll come right into here. This is my office right here. I'll walk in every day, and you can get what you want.
What?
Maybe we'll set up a big four-poster bed in there, okay? We'll do it. We'll do it that
listen,
way. That's what we'll do.
Listen,
and we got the new lady starting.
We've
got the new lady starting.
Hey.
He needs to work with the new lady.
Don't you like having him around?
What?
Don't you like having him around?
I wouldn't trade him for the world.
Okay.
I mean, it would be...
How about if we get like a doghouse?
You know what? If he wasn't around here, my life would be hell.
What if we got a doghouse?
A doghouse.
A little doghouse he could live in.
Maybe, if we put it outside the door.
Servants' quarters.
Outside the door.
No problem at all.
Sometimes we'd be able to let him come in.
Of course. He's in always.
We'll put his dishes on the floor.
This is true.
So he can come in.
Why does this always get back to you and Rob?
It doesn't.
It always. Weren't we talking about moving our office downstairs?
Yeah, but then he said he wouldn't be close to us. But he's right.
Oh, God. He misses right. You already. You know what? It's just like I said before. Nothing will change.
Right.
Nothing will change. All of this exercise, right. Futile.
You know what? You're making me do it now.
What?
I'm looking for a record.
Give me a second. I don't think I have it. I'll just say it. And Mike, I don't remember the girl's name. God, it's not Maureen McGovern. Mary McGregor.
Yes.
Torn between two lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like a fool.
Who?
You and Rob are doing this to me. If you make me select...
This is...
I give you the rose.
But here's the deal.
You're the bachelor. I give you the rose.
Your love for the boy.
I'll let him go.
Your love for the boy. You have lost sight of the general thing that we were discussing, which will not change because Julie's not going to move out of her office anyway.
But we could find another office
we
down here.
We could find another
and
office.
Listen, we'll
and I'll tell you, in the event that we get that corner office, I think that's bigger than our office.
Then work on
and
that.
And then bring him in with lock, stock, and barrel.
No, he's never moving
in
with us.
Don't do this. I mean what I'm saying.
He's never moving in with us because I don't want you to be unhappy.
I wouldn't be unhappy. This is I hate it when this happens.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Why?
I hate it. What do you hate?
I don't know.
What do you hate?
I just hate. I just feel like
you don't hate anything. You like everything here.
Yeah, I do.
You do. You like it when the boy's in the office.
I do like it when the boy's in the office.
Yeah. So, you know, let him have his own. You know what? Now I think about it. Let him have his own office up there with Beth Ann.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's necessary.
Or we just give him a chair in our office.
Well, there's also
maybe a footstool.
I don't think it would be...
And maybe a refrigerator.
I don't think it would be a bad idea to have the producer of the show on this level also.
Well,
that might not be a bad idea.
Then we have to move Rob, too.
Yes, of course.
So then we just move them all down here.
It's two offices.
Okay.
And then we bring two... We put two offices upstairs.
And Rob can just come visit our office whenever he feels like it.
Like that doesn't happen now?
I only said that to
like
work
that doesn't yet. Happen now, you know, much more than it ever has.
A door between, like an
like
adjoining
that doesn't
suite.
Happen every
can I
day.
Can I tell you something else?
Every day with my private time with you that I used to have
can
years
I tell
ago.
You
yes.
You know who else is in that office every day?
Who's that?
Look at him right there.
I am, yeah.
Just briefly.
He's got his special time, too.
You see.
Oh,
I think your brother hung up.
My brother hang up on him.
He's busy.
That's the greatest.
To make a call,
yes.
Please hang up and try again.
All right. Well, he says we're whining like truck drivers, so let's stop.
Let's stop this.
If we can move the office, we'll move the office.
Of course.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And I give you the rose.
Don't lose sight of the big picture. Okay. You know.
Right. For that. The big picture. The mingling of.
I know what you'd really like.
The mingling of the maggotry.
I know. I understand. We should all be together.
So, yes. What I would like is an island somewhere where it's just Fabio and Rob and I.
You bet.
And we're constantly doing the experiment. I can't believe it's not butter.
Yes.
We're constantly because that's what I want.
Thank you for saying what I was thinking.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chants national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chants. Okay?
Come on, darling. Don't be scared. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote this song myself. This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. Ah, we love the chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little poses. And that is why we love the chancy man. The chancy man. Bum, 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 bum.
The Don and Mike Show.
Even tastier than Chef Boyardee. The Don and Mike Show.
It is the best of Don and Mike. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak. Thanks for spending your Wednesday afternoon with me. On a good-looking Wednesday. Rainy in our town, downtown Washington town. Hope it's nice weather where you are. Let's move on, shall we, with the best of Don and Mike? Many people on the Don and Mike Show are married or have been married, and funny things happen in marriage. Sometimes you go a whole day without an accident happening to your spouse. Sometimes accidents happen. Just ask Elvis Costello or ask Buzz Burbank. It's the best of Don and Mike.
As I mentioned, there are many things to discuss. Let's start with Buzz, and let's ask Buzz.
All right.
As long as we're on the topic, and I threw that out, well, what if I was to say to you that I'd killed Buzz, you know, or Buzz was dead?
Mm-hmm.
I ask you, what would you think if your buddy comes into work and says that he's very upset that his wife...
I'd think one thing and one thing only.
What?
Cameron did it.
His his wife has had and I use the Dr. Evil quote, an accident.
An accident in the home.
Yes. That's right.
Working near Buzz.
Yeah.
And Buzz was riding a tricycle. She was changing a light bulb on the balcony, and she fell over the banister, just like in The Omen.
Well, that's kind of what happened, right, Buzz?
A little close, yeah.
I mean, we'd like your testimony now. Let me just say, here at the Rob Spiewak Kangaroo Court,
yes,
where every man is, of course, innocent until his wife comes out with a videotape proving that he's guilty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me say that I do believe that Buzz had nothing to do with Marcia falling, fracturing her wrist.
Oh, my God.
And what, banging her head?
Yeah, she hit her head, but she, you know, a minor fractured wrist. Nothing serious. She's going to be all right.
Minor fracture.
Yeah.
Not a compound fracture.
No. No,
no bone poking through the skin.
More of a hairline fracture.
Exactly what
but
happened.
She's in
Buzz.
A cast and will be for the next 4 weeks. I didn't push her off the ladder. I can tell you that. And
what was
I
she doing to be on the ladder in the first place?
I didn't rig the ladder in any way.
Now, while you're defending yourself a little too strongly, I might add, could you tell us what she was doing on the ladder in the first place?
That's a very good question.
Was she using the ladder as a mode of escape?
No, she was not. There really was no reason for her to be on the ladder as near as...
So she would not have been making an attempt, say, to get out of a well?
No, there was no well.
Where was the ladder, Buzz?
The ladder was in my screen porch, on my screen porch.
Mm-hmm.
On your screen porch?
Had you been on the ladder before your wife?
I had been on the ladder, yes, and a friend of a friend who was helping me install the
ceiling. And then you left said ladder?
I did, and I went...
And then your wife innocently stepped on said ladder and had said, quote-unquote, Dr. Evil accident?
That is correct.
Was she involved with the putting in the installing of the ceiling fan?
No, not directly, no. And really, again, no particular reason for her to be on the ladder.
Was she have been going up the ladder to take a look at the ceiling fan?
Exactly, Mike. I think she wanted to examine the work and see what was being done.
So curiosity fractured the wrist.
Yes.
True.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. True or not, though, Buzz, and I must speak out for your wife and for all battered women out
yes.
there.
Yes.
True or not, you consider yourself to be a Bob Vila type. You're a do-it-all
at
the house.
Yeah, pretty handy, well, most things.
And if you've been working on something like installing a ceiling fan and you knock off to go out in the backyard, have a Camel and have an ice-cold Miller Lite, are you bothered when your wife goes up to check on your work?
Well, sure, I think anybody's made a little nervous by that fact, by being...
And because of that, Buzz, would it surprise you if I told you that the Donnie CSI, the DCSIs, were over there moments ago and found, on the ladder, steps, petroleum jelly?
Vaseline!
Well, that was from an earlier party, but it's possible that was there. Yeah.
Would I have another series of questions here.
Uh-huh.
Would she have been checking your handiwork when she got on the ladder?
Well, possibly.
The job
or the work of my friend.
Is there a chance that the job was probably completed satisfactorily
But she did not necessarily believe it.
I don't know. I thought the job was progressing nicely. It wasn't finished. It was midway through the project that this.
Well, what occurred. Was she doing up there, Mr. Burbank? I think it's a very direct question. Yes?
Exactly. Mike.
Yes or no? What was she doing up there? Yes or no?
Yes.
Rob,
were you proud of the job you did, Buzz?
Very, very proud.
You're proud of your handiwork, aren't you, Buzz?
Always, yeah.
Would you invite or insist that she examine the handiwork?
If she did this in her own mind.
She never mentioned that she should take a look at it.
Sidebar, for all the listeners now, they should know that Buzz is sitting on one side of the room, and Don, Rob, and myself, we are all behind a big oak desk, all wearing powdered wigs.
Right, I'm in the witness box.
And as far as me, I'm commando underneath this robe.
This whole court is commando.
It's commando, and I love it. I'm 18, and I like it.
And Mike spit out his water.
Oh!
Yeah. So, Buzz, when your wife took this unfortunate tumble.
Uh-huh. The nasty spill.
Well, however you like to call it. Uh-huh. Whatever queer name you've given it.
Uh-huh.
How long was your wife...
Are you going to ask about how long it took for him to offer assistance?
Well, I'd like to know how long she... Was she... Incapacitated? I mean, was she, when you came home, was she like Woody in Toy Story? I mean, was she just laying on the ground, or was she okay and incidentally, after you set this trap for your wife, where did you go?
I went inside for a moment. I think it's something to do with the wiring. I think I had to work on a fixture.
Oh, just one moment.
Inside.
You were on the premises when this accident occurred?
Yes, I was.
This happened last evening?
Yes, it did.
You were there?
I was at the house, yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Can you estimate the length of time she was unconscious?
I don't know if she was unconscious or for how long. I watched her lay there for several moments, panicked, paralyzed with fear.
Mr. Burbank, if you had chosen to offer assistance, could she in fact have not fractured her wrist?
I think the damage had already been done. It was a question.
So you say. Mr. Burbank, I have a question.
Yes, yes, sir.
You mentioned that you came in, you saw your wife as Woody in Toy Story on the floor. You looked at her for a few moments. Was that the testimony?
Yes, it was.
A few moments could mean exactly that. A few moments, or in such a severe shock to your system, could it in fact have been 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 minutes?
I lost track of time. Anything's possible. Yes. Anything's possible.
And isn't it true that the extent of her injuries would probably warrant medevacking her by helicopter from your home?
Or at least putting her into your late model European-made car to drive her to the nearby emergency room?
And isn't it true that you did nothing of the kind? Isn't it true, in fact, Mr. Burbank?
That is true, yes. I did nothing of the kind.
You really didn't?
No.
You didn't take her to the hospital?
After she... Well, see, first day...
You came in and your wife had fallen off a ladder and was laying on the ground like a broken doll?
Right.
And you didn't scoop her up into your big manly arms?
Did you administer any first aid?
When she... No.
Were there any contusions?
She did hit her head and...
Was there blood?
No blood.
Lack of medical attention is what killed Danny Thomas.
And lack of blood in this particular circumstance would mean internal bleeding.
And one other question. Is there an insurance policy on her?
Of course there is.
There is. Yeah. Isn't it true that, in fact, that insurance policy exceeds the value of your very own?
May I?
I don't know the exact value.
Isn't it true, Mr. Burbank, that your wife is worth more to you dead than alive?
May I follow up?
I don't know.
Mike, may I
please do.
May I take a couple of minutes of your time?
Go ahead, counselor. I yield to the fine gentleman from Virginia.
Is it not true that after discovering your wife, looking at her for a period of time...
Several moments.
...before deciding that you would not take her to the hospital...
Uh-huh.
is it true or not true that you then bundled her up this morning and sent her off to her job?
Now, wrapped her in blankets to prepare her for the 86 degrees.
Except for the bundling part, that's true.
Yeah. Now, sent her out on the street, dazed, confused.
Also, is it not true, please to be correcting me if I'm incorrect, but is it not true that your wife works in a physician's office?
That is true,
yes. That is true, Mr. Burbank. You know how I know that?
How?
Because I also go to that very same doctor's office.
Isn't there a conflict of interest?
He is a wonderful doctor, a fine physician.
Yes, he is.
And
I
say to you...
Is this a conflict of interest? Do you have to step down because you go to that doctor?
No, I do not. But here's my point.
I say you must recuse yourself.
No, if you would simply give me... If you would simply... Let me say this.
I will let you... I will let
you. The fact that I have also gone to this doctor for my many ailments...
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with the story. Let me just point out that when he bundled her up, pushed her in the car...
Didn't bundle.
pushed her foot on the gas pedal and said, go to work, I don't care how you feel. He sent her to a doctor's office where she works. And you know the first thing they did when she walked in?
What is that?
They said, Marcia, what is wrong with your wrist? You need an x-ray yesterday.
Oh, really? And it was only then that they discovered the break?
That's true. Yes, that is correct.
Now, Buzz, if your wife had had a job at Kmart, if she had had a job at Ames, if she was lucky enough, like my wife, to be working at Walmart.
If she'd worked in any nail salon in the Northern Virginia area.
You know, you wouldn't have gotten that type of treatment. It's just dumb luck that your wife works in a doctor's office.
That is true. That's the only thing that otherwise she would have probably had permanent... disfigurement.
She may have been like that guy on 24 last night.
Isn't it true?
May have had to have taken the entire... May have had to Dennis Murphy her. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it true, Mr. Burbank, that your poor, sweet, petite wife...
Yes?
...is very small and very fragile, and in fact, any fall from any length would have caused bone damage?
I'm aware of that, yes.
Yet you chose to let her stay in the home all night without medical attention, didn't you?
She said she was fine, yes.
Never took one single measure to guard her frailty.
You didn't provide her with a splint?
No, I was just stunned.
You didn't make any attempt to suck the poison out?
Well, I needed to finish the project, so...
Is the project finished?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the project. You know what the real project is?
The project isn't totally finished yet.
That's right. He didn't complete that project. Well, I'm sorry. I can only conclude one thing.
Yes?
He's guilty. He's as guilty as a man can be.
I agree.
I do, too.
I'm not sure what the charge is.
O.J. Burbank.
Yes.
That's what I say.
Honey, climb up to the top of the ladder.
Now, first I was just stunned, and then I waited for her to regain consciousness. And when she did, I assumed everything was fine.
Now, really, no kidding. When you waited for her to regain consciousness, seriously, did you, like, give her the... Honey, wake up.
No, I as I recall, I stood over her and leaned forward, peering to see if she was okay.
Ah.
Just peering.
Did you hear her, Paul?
I heard something.
You think?
I heard something, and I went running,
you
of course.
Heard something.
I immediately went running.
What's the first thing you checked when you saw her laying there lifeless?
I checked for emotion. I just looked to see if she was moving.
For you. Emotion as opposed to emotion.
No, yeah.
I thought you wanted
any emotion.
She's smiling, laughing.
I thought he said emotion, too.
No,
and then he said, I checked to see if she was moving.
I checked for emotion.
If she was breathing?
Not directly, no.
Wow. He's like that lifeguard we had on the other day.
Did you check the neck pulse?
No, there was no need for that.
Mirror?
Hold on.
By the time I had absorbed what had happened and saw that she was moving, I felt no need.
By the time you'd absorbed it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, she absorbs the blow of the floor.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's a concrete floor on your sunroom?
Yeah. Mike, time for us to get to the bottom of this.
Yes, absolutely.
This number will work.
Hello?
Marcia, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
Marcia, how are you?
Perhaps I should just turn down my radio.
We are so concerned about you.
Listen, dear friend. Where are you, dear friend?
Well, no.
Marcia?
Yes?
Listen, dear friend.
Yes?
When I called your house on my way to work today... And asked where your husband was, because he had left me a message.
Yes.
And we had our little, hi, how you doing? And he said, you said, no, he just left. How come you didn't tell me that he had just assaulted you last night?
Oh, no, he didn't assault me.
Was there any slippery substance at the top of the ladder, Marcia? Anything that would have caused you to lose your footing?
I wasn't all the way to the top of the ladder.
You weren't to the top of the ladder.
I went up to see the holes that were being drilled, and I was coming back down the ladder, backing down, and I thought I was on the bottom, and I wasn't.
Dear girl, do you have any idea how long you may have been laying there unconscious?
I wasn't unconscious.
How long did he just stand over you staring at you?
I don't know. Hit my head and my wrist hurt.
She's not thinking clearly.
He said, are you okay? And I said, just give me a minute, I'm fine.
And were you, obviously, with a hairline fracture of your wrist, you were in excruciating pain. Why? Why would he not let you seek the medical attention that you so badly needed?
You know, I really wasn't in that much pain, and I still am not.
Before you made the climb up the ladder, Marcia, did he offer you a cold drink or something to eat that he had prepared?
The friend who was there.
Rocco.
Rocco. We use the name Rocco.
That's the reason we're calling Buzz Old Lace today.
When Rocco, let me just, would there be any chance that while you were laying there in your most vulnerable, you know, lights out,
right?
For, you know, what as far as you could have known, could have been hours.
Sure.
How do you know that wasn't a Rocco party happening there.
No, I wasn't out.
You were not out.
I know.
You were not out, but you do have a fractured wrist.
I do.
You do, and you do have a bump on your head.
I remember hearing me hit my head,
yeah,
but there's no bump, and I have no tender spots.
Marcia?
Yes?
This is Mike.
Hi.
I'm going to tell you something right now that might come as a shock to you.
All right.
Fact of the matter is, Marcia, that when you took that tumble from the ladder, even though you're unaware of it,
mm-hmm.
you have been asleep for 14 days. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're concerned about you. You know, we care about you.
I know you do. Well, they made me come home from work. They said I shouldn't be working.
Well, of course, because as luck would have it, you work at a doctor's office.
Yeah. Thank God.
As luck
because
would have
if that hadn't happened, she might not be with us today. Whatever.
Probably the way it swelled overnight, I would have gone to an emergency room to see about it.
Yeah, you would have gone. You would have struggled to drive that car with one hand. Meanwhile, while the unconcerned king of the hill over here.
You know, it is tough to drive a stick shift with a...
Oh, my God.
You made her drive a stick shift with her broken wrist?
It was her choice to get the standard transmission.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, we hope you feel better, Marcia.
As long as you're okay.
Well, you know, the toughest part is getting dressed.
Really?
And the holes that you went up to check out, they were okay?
I was just curious to see what it was.
They were fine? They met your standards?
Everything works fine.
Well, thank God that it's easy to slip into those simple house dresses that he keeps you in.
Those potato sacks.
I'm thinking
about just wearing underwear and buttoning up my lab coat and just not bothering.
Hey, that'd be okay.
Now you're turning me on.
And business has increased.
That's different than any other day.
Oh.
Marcia, we all hope you feel better, and for Christ's sake, watch your back.
Yes, I promise.
All right.
Good answers, babe, and be careful on the stairs.
I will.
All right, bye, Marcia.
Bye.
There she goes.
Okay, Buzz.
You heard me warn her about the stairs.
It's like in Monty Python. You heartless bastard!
You really should watch those stairs.
Are
you okay?
Show me a sign of emotion. Show me emotion.
Not
now.
Not even a twitch.
Now. Can you wiggle your finger?
I don't see that.
I won. You ought to come over and see the ceiling fan. It works great.
Buzz.
Fantastic.
Buzz. Okay, that's Buzz.
Yeah.
That's Buzz. We love Buzz. And I hope Marcia's feeling better.
She's fine.
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come look at Lemons.
It's just to get the smell off. It's nothing weird. What do you do when you watch me?
I look at you. You take off your blouse, then you run the water. Then you take a bottle of gold perfume when you put it on the sink. Then you slice the lemons.
Brought to you by the Citrus Growers of America.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny. It's the best of Don and Mike on a good-looking Wednesday afternoon. It's your old buddy, Rob. And this next segment, the show that follows Don and Mike on WJFK is called the Ron and Fez Show. And I think it came to Don and Mike's attention somehow. There was a job posting, something in the want ads or something. And it was curious, because we didn't think Ron and Fez were going anywhere. And they're not, because they're still here. So we want to get to the bottom of it. It's a scandal. It's an outrage. It's the Ron and Fez job posting on the best of Don and Mike.
The manager and the program director here of this radio station, golly, there are other guys that work here.
Yeah.
Other DJs.
Right.
And Ron and Fez are their names, and we're very fond of them and their show.
Amen.
And their deal is up, and I guess they don't have a show like ours where they don't talk about the behind the scenes.
Did they not touch on this last night at all?
No.
Does anybody know whether they did?
I listened to them for a half hour on the way home, and
they didn't deal with it.
Not a word.
All right.
Now I'm sure it's because they don't like to talk about, you know, what's happening with their contract.
Yeah, I mean, if they've got an ongoing thing, I completely understand.
Right. You know, and God knows we love talking about it. I mean, you've heard us go through it a million times.
The way we do stuff.
So anyway, the deal is that For a while, there was a rumor going around because their contract is being negotiated. I don't know if they're going to stay or if they're going to go. I hope that they stay.
Right. Should they stay or should they go now?
I've heard that the indications are it's going to work out and they're going to stay, and that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago, I don't know how long ago it was, we were doing the one of our absinthe shows, now apparently one of our regular monthly absinthe shows, and I'd had a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And as Ron and Fez were walking into the building, because they do a split shift, they have to work at 11 at night and at 7 at night, 11 in the morning and 7 at night,
mm-hmm.
we don't see them a lot. As they're walking in the building, because I was loaded, I said, hey, Ron and Fez, come on in here. Tell us if you're leaving to go to Tampa.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is, you know, listen, I'm in the radio business.
Right.
I talk to other radio people. We gossip.
Mm-hmm.
You gossip about stuff.
Right.
So then the next thing, you know, over the last, even before this started, Cameron Gray, the program director, is coming in and giving me, as it turns out, what's great material, we haven't gotten to it yet, tapes and resumes from disc jockeys who want to work at our radio station, WJFK.
Right.
And the reason that they're sending these tapes and that we have all of these bad DJ tapes to listen to is because there was an ad
mm-hmm.
printed in a trade magazine
mm-hmm.
that said WJFK has an opening.
Or on an internet tip sheet.
Yeah, well, actually, it's not even internet. It's something you got to pay for.
Okay.
Okay, and it might be internet that you have to pay for, but either way.
Uh-huh.
So, to preface this a bit more, about a month ago, when Cameron came in with one of these DJ tapes to give me, say, hey, this would be funny for the show, and I said, I agree, I read the letter, and the cover letter said, Dear Cameron, I'd love to work at WJFK. It's a great heritage station. We could do a great job filling the shoes of Ron and Fez,
mm-hmm.
the guys that are on after us.
Mm.
So I call Cameron in, because despite what you might think, I'm not a total jerk. I call Cameron in, and I say, hey, dude, you know, I'm glad you're giving us the tapes, but like this letter says that they're going to replace Ron, they want Ron and Fez's job. I don't feel cool reading this. Like, this is not, you know, this, regardless of what I say,
right.
I'm drunk if I said to them, hey, come tell us what's happening. I said, I don't feel cool with this. Cameron said, and his quote was, that ran by accident. Mm. That ad ran by accident.
Now, yes. Here's the deal. When you talk about an ad going into a publication of any kind, an accident is strange because you have to contact the people that run the place. You have to pay money to run the ad. You have to compose the ad. You have to put the phone numbers in. It didn't seem very plausible that would be an accident.
I know that I embellish on the show, and I do because it's a show.
Yeah.
But sometimes I tell you flat square, as Joe Theismann would say.
I'll be flat square honest with you.
I don't BS you. And my wife gets mad at me because I say all the time, I swear on my kid's life. I say, well, that's the only way that the people will know that I'm not, that I'm dropping the facade of doing the show for a second.
Right.
To say, I mean, I love my kid more than anything in the world. I trade my life for his in a New York second.
Right.
So when I say that, I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the camera, I swear on my kid's life, you came in here and said that ad was an accident. And not only did you say it to me, you said it with Rob in the room.
Yeah,
Rob was standing right
there. The ad ran as an accident.
So Cameron came in yesterday on our show and said, I never said that. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill,
mm-hmm.
but it does stick in your craw a bit.
Right.
The guy's lying. Now, here's the thing about these management guys. They're so stupid. I understand that they're negotiating with these other disc jockeys, and I understand that there are levels of negotiation that go on.
Mm-hmm.
All he'd have to do is come in and say, listen, you know, hey, drop this topic. You know,
anything off air that's of a sensitive nature, we wouldn't be in this business for as long as we've been in it if we did not, when asked, back off on something.
So if he just came in and said, or even if he came in when he was on the air and said, hey, it's all about negotiating. We have a position, they have a position. Let's just drop this.
But instead, we get kind of half-truths. We get cryptic comments.
He lies. He lies about having said it. And then the general manager, so one of them says, either the program director or the general manager says, well, the only reason the ad was even out there is because you said something about...
Well, Cameron said that initially.
Yeah, said this on your show.
That it was out there because we had said something on our show. And then Alan, at the end of the day yesterday, said, no one in this company placed that ad. Now, if you really want to get into semantics, there are ways you can talk around anything.
Even though Alan also said, on a separate occasion to me, as he said yesterday on this show, he also told me that the fact that this ad ran...
As an accident.
Now... Mm-hmm. We took the time to get in touch with the guy from the on-air tip sheet company.
Okay.
Here is the note that he sent to Cameron, which was forwarded to Rob, and I'm going to read it to you now. To whom or who, to whom it may concern about Cameron, this is to let you and all interested parties know that the listing for the night opportunity on WJFK came about as a news item from All Access. That is yet another disc jockey gossip job service.
Uh-huh.
I picked up on the item while the industry at large was in a frenzy over the Bubba the Love Sponge and Stern.
Uh-huh.
It was to be no more than a potential opening based on rumor. Yep. And should have run in the tip sheet, only I lost track of it with the 600 other gigs that are listed. Sorry for any discomfort or ill feelings. It was just a hot tip with no temperature.
Okay.
It was not sent to me by anyone. Regards and regrets, Tom Hamilton. Now,
Mike, that would exonerate everybody.
However, hear me for a second. If all of that is true, why would both Cameron and Alan say the ad was a, the word was,
it ran as an accident.
It ran as an accident.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody did this to you, you're running a business, they run an ad that's not true. If you're talking about it with somebody, you characterize it as an accident?
No, you would say the truth. You would say that this ran because somebody picked up on it.
Okay.
They got it from like a website.
Right, okay. Would you just...
Why are they saying... This speaks to the way they do stuff around here.
And this is why I don't believe them, because... I'll tell you what an accident is. Walking out on the street and getting hit by a bus.
Falling off a ladder. That's an accident.
Now, Buzz, that's debatable.
Okay.
That's debatable.
It ran as an accident. Why are they saying it like that?
I don't know. Why wouldn't
you... You know, it's, but it does... Look,
why wouldn't you just say...
Here's why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because you're absolutely right. Why would they say it like that? And when they say it like that, it arouses suspicion. And the thing that's tough about this is the fact that now the guy that runs it has said, yes, he runs ads based on rumors. So, in other words, they are exonerated from this. But if they're exonerated, why didn't they just come out and say that in the first place?
And you know,
why did they have to be
so
cryptic?
Because they're lying. Because why else would they if they weren't lying? Why do people lie? Why do people lie?
There's one other reason.
People lie because sometimes the truth doesn't fit.
No. There's one other reason besides why would they lie.
Why?
The stupidity factor.
Oh, but no, I've got an answer for that. If there's anything that we know about Alan Line 1,
mm-hmm.
since he got this faux job as the general manager here.
Mm-hmm. You can't call him acting anymore.
Hey, well, that's why I call him right. Fono, F-A-U-X. Even though he's the, you know, quote
the, man,
unquote,
right.
the general manager, he is, because his job is tenuous at best. I mean, he's sitting on a rocky seat he has for a long time. He has dotted every T and crossed every I, and I know I got it backwards, but you know what I mean.
That's I know.
He, every detail, yeah. Trust me, I know Alan. I'm looking at this ad.
But you know what kills me here? What kills me here is they can put it to rest now.
But here's the thing. Hold on. I'm looking at the ad, uh-huh. and it's, if I'm Alan, and thank you God that I'm not, uh-huh. but I could picture being Alan. Alan would look at this, because it's on this tip sheet. It's got WJFK FM. It's got the address. It says Equal Opportunity Employer. If I'm Alan, the first thing I do, being as I'm paranoid and worried that I'm going to lose my job and everything else, I call this guy up, and I say, hey, Hal, you're killing me here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alan has demonstrated this mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. that if there's something out in the marketplace, something out in the industry that doesn't have his seal of approval on it, something that if a muckety-muck from Infinity comes to him and says, how can this get out there? If he doesn't have the answer, that's how he bases his whole existence.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That everything is buttoned down and he has an answer to everything.
Right. I'd be curious if they came down on this guy for running this thing.
Not a word.
And I'm still,
it's an accident.
And just one other little point of order. The information you have in your hand came to us through Rob or through
Cameron?
Cameron. It
Cameron
came through Cameron.
The email came to Cameron. Cameron forwarded it to Rob. Rob forwarded it to me. So.
And if this guy...
What?
I spoke to the guy. I mean, it's genuine.
Oh, you spoke to the guy at the tip sheet?
Yeah.
Oh, you... Well, Rob, well, come step up.
Come here.
There's nothing to add.
Well, what did the guy say? Did you grill him?
Don was there. I mean, he was basically...
Yeah, he grilled him, but not like I would grill him. You know Rob. Rob was being nice with the guy, and meanwhile, I was having to say to Rob, ask him how come it says EEO, how come it says
yeah,
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, all right, yeah. What were his answers to that?
I said, why does it, what about the stuff that says EEO? Did that come from the tip? He says, that's added, I think he says that, he had a word for it, it was to the tune that it's rote. I mean, he always puts that on.
It's rote?
I mean,
R-O-T.
That's just what how they add it.
It's written, you mean?
Well, no, not wrote like that, but it's just
by rote.
It's right. By habit.
So they put that down there in every ad that they run.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, but now, and that was, but let me also say that as I'm looking at these ads,
this exonerates the people here.
Let me tell you some of the things that it says.
In court of law.
Let me tell you some of the things it says below each ad, because it's not the same thing. Underneath one of the ads, it says, full-time EOE, major market experience required, no telephone calls. The next ad says, full-time send tape and resume, EOE, computer skills selector, multi-track track analog appearances, must know the music, no calls. Another one says, full-time EOE, computer skills selector, no calls. Another one says, full-time send tape and resume, ENE, no calls. The one for the ad that allegedly didn't run says, full-time send tape and resume, EOE, major market experience required, please no phone calls. My point on this is there's not one standard
format
after the ad thing that runs. Every one of these is different, unless the guy at the tip sheet says, oh, on this one I'm going to say EEO, on this one I'm going to say...
I think he indicated that if it's not something specific, he puts on what he put on
for
that one.
Okay, then let's just...
So there's a chance that this guy writes the ads to look more credible than they actually may even
be. Makes his tip sheet look better.
Ah, then...
But let's call Alan, though. Because still, how is it an accident?
Well, that this place.
How is it an accident?
You know what about this?
And
place?
Here's the other thing about.
You know, you realize now, though.
Here's the other thing, though. But they imagine this. Imagine that Ron and Fez are driving to work one day when we're doing the absinthe show, and they hear me saying, "Hey, where you gonna go to Tampa Bay? Why don't you come and talk about it?" They go to Alan, and Alan says, "Oh, I can't control anything they say." And then let's say the next day. That somebody goes to Ron and Fez and says, hey, there's an ad for your job. Mm-hmm. And they go to Alan. You know what Alan says? That's Don. He just won't shut up. Mm-hmm. It's like they're trying to blame me for being the bad
guy.
Wait
a minute, but you got your information. You didn't get your information from the thin air. You got your information from another source.
I know I did. But
I mean, but a source that disc jockeys can read.
But Cameron indicated yesterday that the whole thing started by something that we said on our show.
And that is not true. All right, well, we're going to move past this ad thing because that's not true.
I don't believe that's true.
I believe they got it from that thing.
I know.
That's where they got it.
One of these dummies from upstairs would just be honest.
Oh, mercy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, they're trying to palm it off of us, and we're calling them liars, and,
Hi, it's Cameron.
Cameron, it's Don and Mike.
Cameron, have you been listening to all this?
I have.
All right. So how is it an accident?
Yes.
The whole ad thing, how is it an accident? Can you explain that to me?
Who said it's an accident?
Didn't Alan say it was an accident?
I don't know what Alan said.
Oh,
on this show yesterday, Alan...
Aren't I exonerated?
No.
How?
On this show yesterday, Alan said, I told you privately it was an accident. And Cameron, really, I swear on my kid's life, you came into the studio when I showed you the letter from the guys from San Diego that had the names Ron and Fez, and I said, I don't feel cool reading this because of the ad that obviously is run, and you said... The ad ran as an accident.
Right,
I swear
when you were
on
talking,
my kid's life you said that.
Well, absolutely, and I believe you. But yesterday when you were talking about it, you were saying that my quote was that I placed the ad by accident, which I denied.
All right. Then
that's
let me,
all I was denying.
You know what?
I don't deny your conversation.
Okay, I'm going to let you slide on that, but I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this guy got his information? And I don't think
he said from All Access.
Okay. What is All Access?
It's one of those websites. Gossip.
So when the statement was made that they got it from our show, that's incorrect also.
If we
exonerate you...
Well, that's cool. No, that's fine. I'm just saying the rumor was out there, so I don't know where it came from.
The rumor... What rumor was out there?
The rumor about Ron and Fez.
What rumor about Ron and Fez?
All the assorted rumors about their potential move.
Okay, but the thing is, we it was indicated to us that they got that this ad ran
because,
based on Don saying something on the show. And that's absolutely not true.
Okay, well, that's fine. But I'm saying
not that's fine. That has been reported. That rumor was out there on, what do I say, FMQB.com?
I mean, it was the rumor mill was generated long before Don said anything on the show.
Sure. No, and if I said that, I apologize, too.
Okay. So you do admit when you came down here that, do you or do you not remember the conversation where you said...
I talked to Rob after the show, and I remember discussing the ad, but all I was denying yesterday was your statement that I regretted placing the ad, which I never did.
No. Not that you regret.
No, wait. We've reached a conclusion here.
No, absolutely.
Cameron, I believe, did not run the ad. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that the ad was not in there because of something that Don said on the show, and you've acknowledged that, Cameron.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, then what about yesterday? This is my only issue, Mike.
What?
Is that the guy came down here a month ago and I asked him about this, and he said his quote was, the ad ran as an accident. As a matter of fact, not only did you say that it ran as an accident, you said it ran as an accident in the Columbia or Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I'm not sure which.
Is that
you? You even said the name of a trade magazine, which is not the one that we're reading the ad out of, that the ad ran by mistake in that trade.
What about that, Cameron?
No, I was just piecing it together from information I received the day before.
Was there an ad that ran in the Connecticut School of Broadcasting?
No. They put out a sheet to their people of potential jobs, and according to CSB, Alex found out for us, according to CSB, they reprint stuff that appears in the on-air tip sheet.
Oh, okay. All right. So they took that on a tip sheet.
They took that wrong information and sent it out to all their people.
All right. Okay.
Uh-huh. So, but you do remember when you came down and said that an ad ran as a mistake.
I vaguely remember that, yes.
Vaguely remember.
That's all we're going to get.
You're a program director. That's as much as we're going to get.
that's as much as we're going to. And we are not culpable for this ad.
No, and you know, I'm wondering.
None of us are.
No, hold on. I think you guys are. You're dopes. You're dopes the way you negotiate contracts.
I don't negotiate contracts.
Just like you're dopes when you did our contract.
I didn't negotiate your contract.
Well, I know, because you're worthless, because you're a program director. All right, at least we're agreed that you don't have anything to do with that process. But
absolutely.
The people who have something to do with that process are dopes. They really are. they screw it up every time. And I don't care what you do with the other disc jockeys, except when I think the other disc jockeys might be giving us the cold shoulder because maybe they got the impression that we said something that turned into this gigantic firestorm when in reality we didn't do it. And as far as I know, nobody on our team, meaning you or the jackass down the hall, went to those guys to say, hey, this is not about Don and Mike. You didn't do that. And I know you've had conversations with Ron and Fez about their contract because you're negotiating it with them now.
Well, don't say the universal we. I don't.
Right, but you know, seriously.
I understand what you're saying.
Do you understand what our concern is?
I certainly do.
And can you do
something? And you understood mine yesterday.
But can you do something about our concern now?
Okay.
About the fact that they might be concerned that this entire ad situation was a result of something said on this show?
They already know. It's all set.
Oh. Really, how do they already know?
Because I told him yesterday, when I got the email from the tipsy people, I told him it was all a big misunderstanding.
All right.
So do they know that you're the dumbass and Alan's the dumbass?
How exactly are we the dumbass?
Well, you have to take that bullet.
Someone has to be the dumbass. I mean, is these guys' careers, somebody has to be the dumbass.
How's that going with them? I mean, you must be aware of how it's going with them, out of curiosity.
I mean, they have a lot of fans out here, and I understand they don't want to talk about it.
How would you characterize, and you can speak on the record or off the record, or you can, give the Fifth Amendment deal.
I'll defer to my leader on that.
Defer to your leader. Who's your leader, Alan?
Yes.
That's a hopeless tribe.
hopeless tribe.
You got no chance. You're never getting off the island with him.
Yeah.
He's your fearless leader, Christ.
Well, it sounds like you have exonerated us as far as being in any way responsible for this ad. And technically, if this little tip sheet gets their information from other websites, then we are exonerated as well.
Do you have a comment about the other thing, about the thing that's on DCR TV?
What thing?
What thing? Like you guys don't read that thing every day?
I swear I don't.
You're a liar.
I'm not going to lie to you. I swear to God, I don't read that.
Here's the deal. At least I said to you the other day about this website, DCR TV.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I try not to go there. And it's really been my New Year's resolution not to go there. I don't need to see like 8 million people writing that our show stinks. And,
right.
You know, I don't need to see it. But I look at it.
I'm being replaced.
But I look at it, and, you know, it's embarrassing when Michael Hughes writes stuff to this guy that runs a website telling him that his information was, which was incidentally about you,
right.
The guy put on a website that you're getting fired, and the next thing you know, Michael Hughes, who you would think has more important things to do, he's a vice president, he sends an email to the guy at the mm-hmm. website saying, incidentally, I'm not firing Cameron. It says on there today that Ron and Fez are going to be on in Baltimore after us on Live 105.
Ray, you know anything about that?
Nope.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
That might indicate that they may have...
That's a good question Buzz brings up, Cameron. Wouldn't that be exciting?
I think it'd be a great idea.
Wow. You know, they all have different styles, close but the once rest. They get the position, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, they all turn into reptiles, and I mean reptiles. And Cameron,
you know,
you're upholding a great tradition.
Thank you.
You know, here's the thing. You know, we get the rap around here, and we're trying to fix this. Trust me, Cameron, we're trying to fix it. We're moving our office downstairs, trying to get things right here. You guys just don't help us. You don't friggin' help
us. Yeah, we need help. Give us more help, okay?
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, and how are you going to help us?
You ask me for help, and it's yours.
Well, how are you going to help us?
How are you going to help us?
How are you asking for help?
No! Wrong answer!
I support you guys 24/7.
I don't care about you supporting us. We don't need your support. We're self-sufficient.
Then you don't need my help.
We're moving our offices down here. We inter-office image makeover.
Yes!
That's how we need help.
But what do you need my help with?
We've discussed it because you hold the puppet figure of program director.
Yes.
Because the people in this building who don't know how things work actually think that you have something to do with the decision process. As you have just proven, you have nothing to do with the decision process unless that's, you know, again, some scheme that you're conjuring up.
Here you go, Cameron. You want a directive?
Yes, sir.
Here's a directive.
Yes.
Use all your powers and all your powers of persuasion and all your powers.
Powers.
To...
Austin powers.
You know, to, help our rep among the employees here. That's what I'm asking you.
You know,
anything you can come up with.
No, listen, here's the thing. We got
Not
the
that
thing.
It's done. It's a, you know...
We've been through the thing with people with the don't look at us, don't talk to us, don't make eye contact with us. So we're moving our
office. Incidentally, since the whole office thing, I sense that changing.
Yes, yeah, so do
which
I.
Which is good. Yeah.
So now we're moving the office and we're telling people, don't believe what management has told you. You know, I mean, listen, and let's not get crazy. You know what I mean? Say hello, but let's limit it to that.
Right.
But, you know, certainly, come on, say hi. Let's get to know people.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need an hour-long conversation.
Friendly,
okay,
but
not too friendly.
But we want to, you know, we want to reconnect with the people here if they want to reconnect with us. You know, the people that work here.
I think they do. I know they do.
And well, it's going to be a better, fun place.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be very exciting.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you might want to start with the two guys that are on after us. I mean, I don't know what other way to do it than to say it on the radio. Than to say yesterday we spent an hour talking about Ron and Fez and how we thought they were getting screwed over. And how we think you're screwing us over. I turned the radio on. I don't hear a word from them last night. And I guess it's, I don't know, because they're still hearing stuff from you guys like... Well, I don't know. Don and Mike are saying on their show you're going to Tampa Bay. I don't know.
Yeah, we like that. You know, I think it's fair to give them a, you know, little...
But you just tell them, we're, you know, you want to be on the team. We want them to be on the team. God, they don't have to come in and do a friggin' bit with us every day. We don't want that. But how about a hello? And the reason that I think that we don't get the hello, besides the fact that they're working a split shift,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that they got this thing built into their head. You know, they got this thing built in there that, for whatever reason, you know, we're not behind them. And that's perpetuated by dopes like you.
How do I perpetuate this?
By not immediately telling them a month ago that we had nothing to do with any ad going in a trade.
I think you're thinking too much about it. No one ever said you did.
Well, we just if the original message can be digested here, it's that we want some help.
And incidentally, it was inferred...
We're doing our part. We want you guys to...
It was inferred yesterday by you and your tribal leader that the reason that the whole thing got out there was because we made a comment on our shows.
Cameron, it really was. You know
it
really
don't
was.
Say that. Don't say, well, no, it wasn't like that, because it was.
I mean, maybe you took care of it last night, but
okay,
prior
that's
to
fair
that.
Point.
All right, good.
All right, dude.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, have a happy day.
How are you feeling about your job?
Tentative as always.
Tentative as always?
Everything. Have you gotten a reassurance? Have you gotten a vote of confidence?
I guess.
All right, good.
Really?
Good.
Who gave you a vote of confidence?
Many of my peers.
Really? Who's...
Your peers or what about your superiors?
Them too.
As your peers, secondarily. Did Jag come up and say, we're yeah, really
Jag.
Behind you?
Jag and Coletta, way behind me.
They're good right. people.
How long really do you think you'll be here in this job?
I don't know. I'm counting the days.
You think you'll make it through the calendar year?
The calendar year?
You think you're going to make it through the year 2004?
I do not know.
You think there's a...
Cameron, if I can give you a piece of advice just on my observations, and certainly with the recent developments in other markets around the country,
mm-hmm.
don't do your job real, real well. If you just like wallow,
according to Don, I don't.
If no, but you know, that's good. That's a good thing then. If you
that
just wallow,
you're gonna get a nice big promotion.
Mediocrity is rewarded around
here. Then I will continue to suck.
All right, then for the we will close this issue.
Excellent.
We're done. We're done with this, with the whole goddamn thing about the ad.
Who needs a drink?
Me.
For the record, what is your name?
Cameron Gray.
Might as well go back to the old gang.
Yeah. All right, Cameron. Keep taking your pills.
Thank you, Cameron.
Goodbye.
There he goes.
There he is.
He handled himself as well as can be expected. Uh-huh. Idiot program director. Idiot program director, and I'm trying to think of the name. Oh, it finally came.
Hi, I'm Cameron Gray, operations director.
There it is. There he is.
Cameron Gray. Hello, wow. Rich. Don and Mike show. Here's, if Cameron's listening upstairs, these are words, I believe, that are going to make his ears bleed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it me, or with every conversation on the radio that Cameron Gray has, he sounds more and more like a gentleman named Jeremy Coleman?
You are... Give him a prize. I was thinking that as we were talking to Cameron. It was remarkable.
It's harsh.
It's very scary.
I don't think it's harsh.
I know.
It's scary.
And it's going to mean a lifestyle change.
Oh, God.
My friend. Well, because, you know, Cameron is a hard worker and Jeremy is more laid back.
Right, exactly.
Jeremy enjoys his time.
I
like Cameron, who's
been
24 hours a day.
Of course.
Listen, for identifying that fact that Jeremy and Cameron are very much alike.
Very scary.
You have won the Sex and the City Part 1 DVD. It's a box set now available on video and DVD, Sex and the City, the complete 6th season, Part 1. That's from HBO. And thank you for listening.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.
Not that there's anything wrong with being laid back.
Yeah.
You know, though, you know, seriously, I look forward, and this is, maybe I even shouldn't ask for this, but wouldn't you love one of them just to like scream a little bit, scream and yell a little bit?
Freak
like,
out, flip out.
You know, like, I did it! You're wrong! Don't call me a liar! Just once.
Those,
we haven't had that. Those days are gone. Goodman used to do that.
So did Stevens.
Once,
once in a while.
Yeah, but
not!
Yeah, but Stevens...
Stevens really did it.
And I love referring to him now just as last name. He's no longer Ken Stevens. Now he's just Stevens. When Stevens was here, you'd have to poke him and prod him and call him and bother him.
Though? Right.
Yeah,
really, really.
I'm okay just mentioning the name.
Get you all choked up.
The magic of Ken Stevens was that if he was a scab...
God damn, what is wrong with
me? Oh, God.
Okay, the legs.
You would... Pick and pick and pick it, Ken.
And then finally he would absolutely explode.
Better. Yeah, better. That was the magic of it.
Oh, here you go. Here's the tape of Ken one time.
Good.
He was just chilling out and telling us he's not. And then he finally said,
I'm not!
That was great.
That's it. Ken, excuse me, Stevens.
I'm not!
Stevens out.
That was delightful.
It was.
Stevens losing control.
He.
Unlike Gray. Coleman lost control.
I'm not!
Coleman lost control quite often.
Did he really? Private, though.
In private.
Yeah.
Don't you remember the private? I cannot have you acting like this at my radio station.
You know what he would love to do? He loved to throw things.
You know, I don't think I saw him do that.
Oh, I saw him. He was stapler one time.
Oh, I saw him throw a stapler, too.
Yeah.
I guess it was handy.
You know, I was always late.
And I was surprised. He's kind of like Mr. Burns. I was surprised that he had the strength to pick the stapler up.
Smithers, rehydrate me.
That was another great one from Sunday night. Smithers said, Burns goes, I will squash Homer Simpson like a bug, or Lisa Simpson like a bug. And there was a bug, and he tried to squash him.
He wasn't
strong enough to do it.
The bug pushed back.
Yeah, the bug knocked him down. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Touched by CBS, and we've been touched by you. We laugh your laughs and sing your songs and bring you to your feet. So just turn us on, step to the beat.
Welcome to the world of CBS. You'll be with the stars you love the best.
We'll bring you suspense and plenty of fun. Comedy, drama, hearts to be won.
Share the touch of CBS. Welcome to the world of CBS. You'll be with the stars you love the best.
Together we've got the touch, it's true. CBS is all.
again this year.
You ruined my record, man. I just bought it.
Welcome to the world of CBS.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
I know what you're thinking. Why did we play that jingle, that horrible ancient jingle that says welcome to the world of CBS? It's because of this next segment on the best of Don and Mike. It is quite apropos. We're speaking to the president of that fine company, Leslie Moonves, best former actor to ever run a network. It's Leslie Moonves on the best of Don and Mike.
Joining us on the phone is the president of Infinity Radio now, and the president of CBS. Here is Leslie Moonves.
Lay!
Hey, how you doing?
Leslie Moonves.
How you doing, guys?
Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
It is my pleasure and honor to be with you.
Now, let's see. Leslie, let's see if you remember. And thank you for coming on, because it was the assignment of our new producer.
Yes.
To get you, because she got the job. Her first day was the day Mel quit, and you got the job.
Right.
So we said, get Les Moonves.
And she wrote me this lovely email saying, this is my first week, and I got to show these guys that I can deliver. And if I deliver you, they're going to think I'm cool.
So that's wonderful. Way to go,
and
B.A.
She did. She delivered.
Very true.
Right.
Now that we've had all of that, let's see if you remember us. We called you right after you got the job at CBS.
Right.
One day we called you because I've long thought that I could program a network in my sleep.
Well, I think the initial contact with Leslie Moonves was when you were showing him your prowess as a television programmer.
That's right.
And we had a nice conversation.
We called you. We just cold called you at your office
and
one day.
And you took the call, and we appreciated it.
I remember the call, but I hope you don't ask me what bad shows you pitched me.
No, I didn't. I didn't pitch you any shows.
Okay. Good.
And really, I think you're doing a fine job at CBS TV. We watch it. Here's what we're concerned about.
Okay.
You're now the boss of Infinity Radio.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And
no, technically our boss.
Yes. And
technically that's right.
And we've read that, you know, that there's going to be some stations that might be tossed, under the tracks.
Not true.
Well,
you know what? See, the dirty little secret is radio makes more money than television.
Yeah, there you go.
People don't realize that out in the world, that for Viacom, radio is as important, if not more important, than television.
Wow.
So you guys are not going anywhere. Your station's not going anywhere.
But you would be very
happy to be involved with it.
Well, that's wonderful, but you would never say that to Ray Romano, though, would you? You would never say that to him.
No, by the way, Ray Romano, I'm on my knees begging him to stay for another year.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something else? Here's a genius move. Yes, dear, not canceled. Simply put in Leslie's back pocket.
Oh, really? So it's not canceled?
No, it's not. So we got 13 episodes being shot.
Right.
To stick in when something else is not working.
Well, we have a soft spot in our heart for that show because the executive producer of that show, Greg Garcia, was actually, I know this may be hard to believe, actually an intern on this show years ago.
Is that true?
Yes. He got us our water.
Greg happens to be one of the funniest writers in Hollywood.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He really is a great guy. And Greg and Alan Kirshenbaum, his partner, that's one of the reasons it's back.
Now that you're, I know you got other stuff, but Infinity Radio is on your plate.
Yes.
On occasion, Mike and I, if we would have a beef or just wanted to see what was happening, back in the day, there was the time that we could go to our general manager. We'd say, you know, we'd really like to meet with Mel.
We had clout.
And Mel would come down, and he would always yell at us, but we always liked it because he would always come down. Is there any chance you'd ever come down here if we asked and you would just yell at us?
Absolutely.
Promise?
I do promise. I am in your area once or twice a year. I'd love to come visit.
It
would be my pleasure to yell at you.
And when you come in, really, and it has to be the kind of tongue lashing that even with the door shut, they can hear you in the hallway.
Absolutely. Look, I can't yell quite as big as Mel, but I'm
and
I'm new at it.
How do you feel about us reading tabloid stories about you?
Oh God, it's it goes with the territory. You know, the truth of those things is 98% of them are not true, and the 2% that are, pretty interesting. But.
So you know, just in the interest of entertaining our audience, we just wanted to get your blessing. If we do see you in the tabloids, we can share those stories with our listeners.
Yes, you can. David Letterman does it. Howard Stern does it. Why can't you guys?
Very good.
Well, then I'll just flat out ask you, how are things with Julie Chen?
How are things with Julie Chen? They're terrific. Julie Chen is a terrific lady.
I love her. I'll tell you, the show I love her best on is that Big Brother show.
Absolutely.
And I'm not blowing smoke. No. I think she's the best when she's out there doing that live stuff. And listen, you want to know how into TV I am? Forget the radio thing. You already know that.
Yeah, you are in front of the TV. All
Mike and I are great on the radio. We'll deliver the big stuff for you. I'm telling you, I get the East and West Coast feeds.
Right.
There's a girl on Channel 2 in Los Angeles.
Is it a CBS affiliate?
Yeah. KCBS. Her name is Lisa Joyner.
Yep.
If you are not doing something with her, if you do not have a project with her, then you need to have your head examined.
By the way, I like Lisa Joyner a lot. I think you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, she was in the building last week talking about some project. I don't know what it was. So you do have good taste.
I'm telling you. Right. She's no Jillian Barbary. I'm not saying you put her on the show just for TNA, but I'm saying... this girl's got a future.
She's very cute. She's got a great personality. You're absolutely right.
And are you excited about like having this come into your
I'm excited.
Your sphere?
Absolutely. At this moment, I'm a little overwhelmed because I know that, you know, I have all of Infinity Radio, I have all of Viacom Outdoor, I have all of Paramount Television now under me, as well as all the, you know, as well as CBS Television. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and it's a very big job. And as you know, Mel is a pretty terrific guy, and it's tough shoes to fill.
And will you be offended if we simply refer to you as King?
No, that's what most people do.
Now,
so, you know, I appreciate it.
Lay, if I may call you. May I call you Lay?
Call me Lay anytime you want.
Lay, looking at the primetime schedule.
Here we go. And you know what? You know, really, with take the Infinity Broadcasting thing out of the equation. This is the reason, Mr. Moonves, and I can't help mate Lay,
right.
that Don was excited to talk to you because he wanted to talk to you about the TV schedule.
Okay, let's talk about the schedule.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
CBS is the most watched network.
Yes,
but
it is.
Here's the problem. You only pound that when you've got, like, and I'll call him a schmuck because he's on our show all the time, Jim Nantz, like when I watch the golf, he's the only guy who reads the cards, on America's most watched network, CBS. That's the first thing you do. You pound it over people's heads. We're the winners.
We are the winners.
Mm-hmm. We're the winners. CBS
right.
is the winner.
That's correct.
Now, second.
By the way, there's a saying in promo, as soon as you are get sick of hearing something, that's the first time it's really registering out there with the American public.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
And by the way, the American public likes to hear that when they're watching somebody, they're in first place and they are the winner because then they feel like a winner.
That's right.
So there you go. So that's the first piece of advice. I would say you're not aggressively marketing CBS on air as the number one kick-ass network. Now, let's look at Thursday. Let's look what you've done on Thursday.
Why do I feel like you're interviewing for a job?
Well, hold on a second, because I'm getting somewhere, because I am, Mike.
This is your second career.
You have turned around Thursday night, the impossible NBC machine started by the late Brandon Tartikoff. You turn it around, you own Thursday night. Now I say to you, what's your most underperforming night of the week, Lay? It's got to be either Friday night or Saturday night, right?
No, by the way, arguably it could have been Wednesday night was underperforming, and that's why we put the CSI show there.
Yeah, right. but still,
Friday actually, by the way, Friday and Saturday, relatively speaking,
yes,
we are starting to win Friday nights, and Saturday nights, Saturday night is mediocre, but it's mediocre for everything.
Now, now you're right to my point.
Okay.
Friday night, I want to tell you, and Mike, you tell Lay, I'm not lying about this.
What, that you don't leave the house?
No, yeah, that I don't leave the house.
All right.
Well, you're pathetic.
Joan of Arcadia. First time I saw Joan of Arcadia, I came in and I said, that show's a smash. That's the show with the girl.
I know that show, yes.
Right.
Now, Friday night's not a problem. You put JAG on Friday night, you put your 48 hours on. You know the night you got to look at?
What?
Saturday. And here's the audience that I would bring to you Saturday night. I'm not talking about me and Mike. I'm just saying conceptually the way you should program. Program it towards people who are younger who are stuck at home with young kids. Seriously,
because okay,
the thought is...
And you are not aware of what we've done in our fall schedule for this Saturday night.
Well, all I know is that when I'm at home on Saturday night and I don't have a young kid, I'm just a schmuck done like leaving the house.
Well, let him tell us what he's doing in the fall.
We've done on Saturday night in the fall. Number one, we've put Amazing Race Saturday night at 8 o'clock. That is our...
You know what?
That
right
is our
there...
Youngest.
doing Joe.
That's a good move.
You, Leslie, okay. You got the bell. You got the bell. We gave you the bell for
that's
that.
That's a good move, because I want to tell you, Saturday night ain't time to see Craig T. Nelson's tired face.
By the way,
TV.
Craig T. Nelson is off the air. That show's off the air.
Good move.
Number two, what we've done, and it's rather unusual, we've scheduled, believe it or not, it's called Crime Time on CBS, Crime Time Saturday, where we repeat all the CSIs without
yes.
This is cold case.
Oh, I like
yes,
that a lot.
God, listen,
no, I really like
it. Here I am ready to yell at you, and look, you've already fixed the night.
I've fixed it. You know, I agree with you. We got to go young, we got to be smarter about how we do it.
And here's another thing. I'm watching your CBS morning show, and right. We all agree, when we were up in New York a couple years ago doing the show every other week up there,
right.
The gem of the CBS morning show is the weather guy that you stole from Fox.
Dave Price.
Yes. Now,
is he great? I would argue with you the gem is Julie Chen, but that's another story.
Well, that's, again, that's, you probably...
All right, let's get off that subject.
Of Go course. Ahead. Well, you brought it up.
Oh, by the way, Dave Price is spectacular.
Yeah.
I agree. He has added such life to that show, and he's great. He's a great talent.
And you need him to be goofier. You need to let him be goofier.
Oh, he's being pretty goofy.
I remember when he did stuff like...
Are you talking about outfits? Is that what
yeah.
you're talking about?
Don't you remember...
The great tradition of weathermen, put him in an outfit.
Put him out on the street in an outfit.
You know, really, I mean, we go back to the days of Willard with Carmen Miranda. Put him in an outfit.
Okay, I'll tell him to put fruit in his head.
And now here's... and now the most important thing,
yes.
on a personal note, for Mike and myself.
Okay.
Imus is how old?
I don't know.
Older than you or I...
Yes,
I guarantee
that's true.
How
yes.
many more years can he have?
I don't know.
How many more years can he have? Lay, here we are.
Hold it. Don't get me in trouble with my talent.
I'm not going to get you in trouble.
How would you like it if Imus was talking about you guys? I would defend you.
Well, he's been doing it for 20 years, but that's okay.
He says we're college radio. All I'm saying is, right. eventually, you know...
Well, you know, put it this way, Don. Leslie, we're here for you.
I appreciate it.
We're here for you.
You guys do a fabulous job. I am honored to be on your show.
Thank you.
I'm honored to be running radio. You're a part of the reason I'm going to enjoy this. And, you know, hopefully you'll let me come back and do this again.
You know, and anytime you just want to get something off your chest,
yeah.
you have an open forum here.
That's good. Well, I'm thinking of running for president. What do you think?
Very good. We'll back you 100%.
Lay, you just need to get that confidence up a little bit. coming from me, that's an awful lot. Thank you for calling.
It's nice talking to you guys. Keep up the good work.
What would you say to the people at Infinity Broadcasting Radio Station, WHFS, in Washington, D.C.? Would there be a message you would have for them? That's one of the underperforming stations.
It is one of the underperforming stations. There are a few of those.
Yeah.
I would say to them, don't worry, Infinity Radio is in great hands.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Pack your bags.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Lane.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Lane. And there he is.
Our new fearless leader, the new president
of Infinity Broadcasting.
Could not wait to get off the phone with us.
Lane Moonves.
And I do believe you were sincere about his Saturday night. You're happy with it. I like the repeating of all the CSIs.
So do I.
Very cool.
Yeah, Saturday night at 10 o'clock.
And The Amazing Race, which they're heavily promoting right now.
But. Old fart like me, I go to the movies every Saturday night with my wife. I go home at 10 o'clock. What's on TV? Oh, CSI. I love CSI.
It didn't matter. Anyway, you couldn't talk to him about radio. It was all about the magic box.
Right. And, you know, somehow foolishly, I thought, you know, like, maybe
hey, this guy's got a great head on his shoulders.
He hangs up the phone and, you know, I've talked to a bunch of slimeball DJs.
Right.
You know, that slimeball really sounded more slimier than him.
No, I think you made an impression. I think you'd be hearing from
any of the other ones.
You were hoping that maybe, like, somewhere during the interview he would say to you, with a body like that, you could go places.
I didn't even ask him about his Da Vinci veneers.
No. Yeah, oh, no, we didn't get to his teeth.
Maybe
next time. The next time he comes on the show.
another time.
Next time he comes on the show, that's funny. That's funny. That's amusing right now.
But he did talk about Julie Chen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
And it sounds like, and then he brought her up a second time.
He appears on the show regularly, like the cicada.
Yeah, we'll see him in 17 years.
He'll be back. And how awkward do you think that is for the people that work on Big Brother or work on that CBS morning show with her?
Oh, my God.
They're like, because she's the girlfriend of the boss, you could, like, never come into work and say, Boy, this place sucks.
I don't, you know, it'd be interesting. It would be up to her, I would imagine.
She'd go home that night?
Whether she disarms everybody, you know, like that, whether she does it.
Do you think he dresses her gay child?
Well, here we go. Okay. I'm stopping you right now. I'm stopping you right now.
Oh, you like
a there you go. Okay, I guess I'm not. No
I
problem.
I hit you on dynamite today.
Christ. All right.
Okay. Anyway, that's Lay Moonves.
Yeah, Lay Moonves, good guy.
Lay, he's the new guy.
He's the new man.
He's the new sheriff in town. I tell you what, did Mel ever come on the show? No offense to Mr.
Garza. No, never. Oh, Mel, not we were once. It wasn't a good idea for us to talk about him a lot.
I don't think so. I don't think this guy has a problem with it.
No.
Yeah, he's an actor, I think, by trade originally.
He kind of dug it. I tell you what.
He sounded, I thought he was a little more low last time, but he's, you know. He's,
hey, all right, guys. There'll be some heads rolling at some Infinity radio station, so I tell you that.
No, he's denied that. No.
Yeah, of course he is. That's
no, he actually didn't deny it, Buzz. His quote, if I, since I do the journalistic thing, right. too. Yeah, Infinity Broadcasting is in good hands.
Yes.
I didn't say anything about specific radio stations.
It's like Lou Piniella getting another vote of confidence for the Tampa Bay Devil race. You're doing a great job, Lou.
No problem, Lou. Eat some more sunflower seeds.
Absolutely. And how about a round of applause for B.A., our producer?
Yes, yeah,
she's right. doing
she
the
got,
job.
She got the main guy.
That was, done. That was the task. Last week, her first day was the day that Mel Karmazin quit.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, here's your job. Get Mel's replacement on the phone. Being as Mel, we've never in 13 years come on the radio with
us. Absolutely.
Never once.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thinking brushes?
The Don and Mike Show.
Tune for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
It's an excellent program with your old buddy Rob Spiewak. It's the best of Don and Mike all across the Fruited Plain on great stations on the Westwood One broadcasting system. Hand me down my walking cane. If you are filling out your Don and Mike application for humor, today's two words are unlisted banana. Those words again, unlisted banana. Write them in your comedic application, and we will accept those when Don announces the address. Our next segment on the best of Don and Mike. Oh, some time ago, WJFK, our home station, went digital. It's very exciting. We talked about the new computers here. It's funny. We talk about how we will actually load all the Don and Mike tapes in. Number of tapes loaded in. Bagel. Okay, so we talk about the new computers, talk about putting Beth Ann McBride on the show, The Swan, and Don and Mike do a little sleuthing. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Right here, Microsoft Central. This is my Bill Gates loves WJFK.
Amen.
This is such crap. This is just such crap. I'll try to focus on the positive.
Absolutely.
Yes. The positive. But what's this? Rob, I just have just one more question. I see this monitor that you were doing the pointing and clicking on.
Yes.
There's another monitor and another keyboard that are doing nothing.
That's right.
Why is that?
Well, we haven't started those yet. Eventually, now here's what's exciting. We have one computer that just does commercials.
Uh-huh.
Another computer is going to be dedicated to this show.
To just playing our tapes?
All the elements as soon as they get loaded in.
And how long will that take?
Oh, days.
We have about 3,000 tapes.
Well, that'll take a long time. Right?
Yeah, well, that doesn't count the ones I have in my basement and all that stuff. I mean, they're everywhere.
Anyway.
So that means we'll have access to everything at a touch screen.
That's right. Just point and click.
Wonderful.
Just hit the big go button.
It's very
exciting. Remember, don't make the mistake I did. Don't hit the go button unless you absolutely mean it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because once you hit the go button, there's no going back.
Exactly. You're in trouble then.
And you've got to rely on Canada.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but they didn't let you down, did they?
Oh, Canada.
No, they never have.
What a show today.
It's Cornwallis.
We are back on in Tampa Bay, Florida. That's nice. We'll have an Inquisition for you today.
Oh, good.
Also today on the show, if you watch the ESPN World Series of Poker, the brand new one that's on.
Yeah, started last night, right?
Yep, we'll have Dutch Boyd on today. He's one of the guys that's playing, and also the giant hamburger guy. That's coming up on today's
6 pounds, right?
On today's show. That's right. That's right.
Six pounds.
Here, though, here is Here is our lead story. Oh, and at some point, I'd love to call our producer, B.A. in.
Oh, yeah.
And ask her if she really wants to be on the Swan. That's something that she just threw out there. I don't think she needs to be on the Swan, but she threw it out there a couple of days ago.
Really? She actually threw out the idea that she'd like to be on the Swan?
We were chatting about reality shows and chatting about The Amazing Race.
Wouldn't they love to have a radio, big-time radio producer on there, their show? I'm sure.
She said something like, and I felt bad later, because she said, I think you were in the room, I think, right? She said, like, I think I should audition to be on the next Swan, and nobody said anything. Mm-hmm. Like, no, come on, B.A., you know.
Did we blow her off when she said that?
I don't know if you were in there or not.
I'd love to see her on the Swan.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll ask her. I mean, she doesn't...
If that would make her happy.
Yeah, but she doesn't have, facially, she doesn't need a lot of work.
She's not homely.
No.
Hold on a second.
I was the computer in my head made that mistake.
Hello?
Hey, B.A.
Hey.
Do you really want to be on the Swan?
Well, I don't think I'm quite doggy enough.
There you go.
That's right. Good for you.
Sorry about that the other day. You said that upstairs. I just thought of that, and nobody bothered to jump in.
Oh, that's okay.
You know, when you said
that. I didn't expect you guys to jump in.
Well, all right. How's our office move going?
I got a feeling you guys don't like it.
I have a question. How long have you been colorblind?
What color?
It's blue and brown.
Let's point out that it is baby blue and baby brown.
That's like what you'd find in a baby's diapers. But you selected the colors.
And Bethann assures me that when everything comes together, it's going to look spectacular.
What's the ETA for our trading places? What do you think?
I think that, and I realized the comment as I was walking out the door when Mike said, well, I guess I'll talk to you at the Christmas party.
Yeah, he said,
it's moving along a little bit slowly.
Yeah, she said we can talk about the colors later. I said, when it's all done. I said, okay, then we'll talk at the Christmas party.
But, I did paint it myself.
I know, she painted it herself. She cleaned the carpets herself. I told you, she's great woman's work. Yeah. She really does. Fantastic. She's a great maid. She's a great cook. She's a great producer.
I don't know. I didn't want to get rid of any of your stuff. I mean, you guys were gone.
So when do you think we'll be ready to move downstairs, to the office downstairs?
Well, as soon as they put cable in, and I'm getting all the furniture this weekend.
Fantastic. So you think next week we'll be in the new office?
Well, you don't want to be down there without cable. I'm really sort of, Tony is in charge of the cable.
Right. Oh, my. Well, then that's never going to happen.
All right.
But I can't be down there without your cable.
That's right. Well, see, boy, do I love this girl. Does she know me or not? I don't want to be in office without cable.
You can get the furniture.
I'm getting the furniture this weekend.
Hey, B.A., what do you think of all this fancy new computer stuff we have?
Well, I think it was probably not wise to hit that little go button. Because I knew once you hit it was going to start it all, the stuff. Because I was in all the meetings.
She was in all the meetings.
Did no one address in the meetings the fact that if you hit the go button, that maybe there should be a reset button?
Well, I've used with other computer programs, other software.
It seems to me that you've got a remote control with one go button.
I probably would have not let anyone know about the go button.
I was just going to say there's one go button, and then there are three other buttons that don't work.
It seems to me like this is the button that that Bush has got his finger on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like when you want...
Well, maybe you got to have the codes first.
Well, for Bush, I bet it's something simple like this, though.
It's got to be simple, but you still have to have the football with the codes in it.
Well, I bet somebody else puts the codes in from the briefcase football thing,
he writes them down in crayon.
And then they say, now, George, you see that big white, that remote thing like they have on the Don and Mike show?
Right.
Press the green one when you want to shoot the nukes, but it's the same thing, because if he presses the button and shoots the nukes, he can't press a button to retrieve the nukes.
Right.
You can't unring a bell.
No.
This is like a Canadian car, gas and no brakes.
Oh, now, see?
Rob?
That's
Rob,
way out of line.
Rob, listen, I hate Canada as much, maybe more than you, but you do have to give that guy props.
Right, true.
He did come in, a Canadian did do your job better, although technically that's not your job. You're
true.
Adjuster.
And I've only learned it since noon. So I'm hoping in my fourth hour, maybe I will excel.
So you didn't go to the meetings?
Well, I was there.
He was late for the meeting. I mean, he didn't mean to be late, but he lost about 8 minutes of...
I phoned ahead.
...of, you know, knowledge.
Rob was late for the meeting today?
Well, because he couldn't help it. I mean, he called.
Rob's got a few issues right now. He gets a free pass.
Mental issues.
Right. I probably wouldn't use the go button at all. And if I were you, Rob, you know where it says auto on and auto off?
Yes.
I put it on auto off. So even if he hits that go button, nothing will happen.
Well, then you take control away from our maestro.
But he doesn't know that.
That's I'm here. Hello, you're speaking about me like I'm in another room.
Sorry about that.
That's right. Hello.
Hello. Okay.
McFly, I hear you.
Beth Ann, you're going to let me look at that furniture before you pull the trigger on it, right? You're going to do it.
Imagine it's all going to be baby blue.
No, you're going to do it because that's important to me, because really that's more important to me than anybody in that room, and I want to know what that is.
And you want to be comfy.
Damn right.
Right on. Okay. All right, thank you, B.A.
You're welcome.
And you're not going on the Swan.
No, I'm not quite dog yet.
Good for you.
But how close are we to getting that great midget from The Amazing Race? What did you tell me? Oh, we got to wait.
Wait till she's eliminated.
Little person Scott the Dwarf will come down here, and he will kick your butt.
We have to wait till she's eliminated.
Right.
Until someone steps on her.
She's great, though.
She did really good, I thought.
She makes the whole thing. I love watching her run.
I hope none of the destinations are at an amusement park where she has to get on a good ride.
You must be this tall. See, there you go. That's your job. Not pointing and clicking.
Right,
that's
right.
You're not a point and click guy. You're not a.
He wants to be, though.
No,
yes, he does.
You're a look and hate guy. You're not a point and click guy, Rob. That's what you are. All right, BA.
Okay, bye.
Good day to you.
Good day.
So this is the show.
Yeah, here we are.
Now the show is really underway.
Yeah.
We should take a break, but I'm not going to take a break yet because the first 15 minutes of the show is the computer stuff.
Right.
Are you ready for an inquisition?
I am.
I'll tease you this, then we'll go to break. And Rob, do I get to hit the go button when we go to break?
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
Very good.
But if I hit it now, it totally screw the pooch,
you
right?
You don't want to do that.
Okay. All right, here is the inquisition for today. You might remember a couple of weeks ago on the show. Oh, and I almost forgot. My wife is not a snob.
Right.
She is simply spoiled.
Yes. Yes, she said that on the show.
Well, she wanted me to just take a moment today at the top of the show because she...
Snob, spoiled, same thing.
Mike, I know that, you know that, but, you know, if she feels...
Frida, I am kidding.
She's not even listening now. She's at work now.
Oh, dear. Okay. If that gets back to her, I'm in trouble.
All I got today when she was leaving the house, she said, how much did you discuss? Because, you know, the great thing with her being at work is she can't hear all the time and call in. She said, how much did you talk about the vacation? I said, a lot. I said, I talked about all of our fights. She said, what? I said, yeah, I talked about the fight with the air conditioning guy. And then I said that, you know, I told you that you're kind of a snob. And she said,
snob is someone who goes to the sale at Neiman Marcus. A spoiled child is the person that gets whatever they want at the sale.
So. You are killing me. Anyway, for what it's worth, she's not a snob.
Very good.
She's simply spoiled. My wonderful wife.
Fair enough.
Now, the Inquisition. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, we played a game on the show called Who's the Dick? Remember, we had people call in. We wanted one guy who actually was named Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And we pitted him against six or seven other guys who were not named Dick. They were named Richard. Mm-hmm. And it was our job to... pick the Dick,
right?
The guy who was named Dick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, as it turns out, we received a letter, and this is the great thing about our show, is that people out there love to bust other people.
Yes, of course.
And we received a letter from Sergeant Nina Ritter, who I guess serves our country in Delaware. That's the area code.
Very good.
She writes, Dear Don and Mike, the person who was the winner on your Who's the Dick show is in the National Guard and happens to be on annual training with me in Fort Lee, Virginia. We were in the Ramada Hotel drinking when this guy started talking about how he was the caller on your show that won the Who's the Dick contest.
Mm-hmm.
His name is PFC John Sawyer. He called from Baltimore.
Sawyer!
What he's going to do is go to his personnel office and have a fake military ID made, which is a federal effing offense, with the name Dick Sawyer.
Oh, not good.
So he can come down to the station. What are you doing?
Configuring the board. I'm sorry. It was just one button.
And I'm just starting to get into the groove.
Right.
I'm just starting to feel like I'm doing the show.
What happened? Please keep going, because I want to know what happened with this.
I'm done. I'm so done.
Okay. I love you, but don't make me make you sit in the corner.
Okay.
He was going to go to his personnel office. He is going to go, he may have done it already, to the personnel office to have a fake military ID made, which is an offense, with the name Dick Snyder, which he wanted to bring to your radio station to win $500. I told him I was going to turn him in. I'm a longtime listener, and I hate people with no integrity. Mm-hmm. How effing stupid can you be to run your mouth in another state and get busted back home? Just goes to show you, watch what you say. You never know when you're standing in the presence of a loyal Don and Mike listener.
There you go.
Here is his address, and here is mine. All right, let's call her first.
Okay.
Let's see
if we can get the lowdown on what's going on. Because it was a while ago. These usually work better fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but of course,
revenge is a dish best served cold.
That's right. And it involves our military men and women.
Amen.
And let me see, she's a sergeant, so she's coming down on a PFC.
Oh, boy.
If I was ever in the military, I'd be a KFC. Kentucky Fried Colonel.
Yeah, you're a finger-licking good colonel.
Hey, this is Don and Mike. We're on the air right now. Is Nina there?
Hey,
would you come on the radio with us for a second? We're looking for Sergeant Nina Ritter. Oh, it's her father. Okay, hold on a second.
All right.
He'll come
this
on the air.
Dad?
Yep, here's her dad.
Hey, Dad, hey. It's Don and Mike. How are you?
Good.
Hi there. So your daughter, and congratulations on your daughter, all of her success. She's a sergeant, right?
Yes. Yes, she was in the Marines for 7 years, and then she had to switch over.
She sent us a letter about a guy that played a game on our show a couple of weeks ago, and he's trying to cheat us.
Yes.
Are you aware of this, Dad?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Anyway, we wanted to talk to Nina about this. Any idea where she is?
Well, she's at work. It's her new job, and believe it or not, she hasn't called me to give her new number yet.
Oh, so she's not available.
Up in Smyrna is the only thing I know.
Yeah, Smyrna, Delaware. Do you know when she'll be available?
Probably after 5 o'clock, I would say, unless she calls me earlier.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Private First Class Jonathan Sawyer?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Must be one of her military contacts.
Yeah, probably. I mean, most of the ones that I know are her gunnery sergeants and things like that, but I don't know any privates or PFCs or anything like that.
Who's that I hear in the background?
Is that your grandson?
That's my grandson.
Grandson.
Amen. One of my grandchildren, yeah, the two boys I got.
Well, we love a good old-fashioned Inquisition, and we like vigilante justice.
Yeah, and it seems that your daughter gave us the heads up on something, and we want to track it down, but I think we need to talk to her first.
Yeah, what was that about? Well, maybe I could...
The guy was just giving us a phony name and playing a name game with us, and...
We had a game on called Who's the Dick, where we had a guy who was actually named Dick, like not a nickname.
Right.
And this guy called in and won the game, but as it turns out, your daughter sent us a letter saying that
his name is not Dick at all.
And he was going to go get to the personnel office to get a fake military ID that has the name Dick on it so he could get the money.
Wow.
And we love stuff like that.
And she said she's a loyal fan of the show, and so
she is, Don.
Hey, do you think she's on her cell phone?
You know what? I tried to get her and have not been able to get her for some reason. There's a problem with her phone.
I just saw that number. Okay, well, listen.
Yeah, and I got to get a hold of her, to tell you the truth. In fact, now that you call me,
you got a radio. If she's listening to the radio right now, maybe you could give her a message, Dad.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's the message you want to give her?
Well, first thing I want to tell her is I love her.
Sure.
Okay, that's a good dad.
And, you know, if nothing else, for my herself, my two grandchildren, and what she's done in her life.
Yeah. But what was the message you were going to leave her, though?
But that I love her.
That was it?
Yes.
Good enough.
Well, that's nice. Well, that's a nice message.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't anything else, like, you know, pick up eggs?
No, Rob, I don't think Dad is about to take his own life. I don't think that's happening.
She was in the Marines for 7 years, and she's got two autistic boys, and she's done a heck of a job with them.
Aren't you a good dad? I like that. You just wanted to say you love your daughter. That's good. That's consider the message delivered.
Well, we love your daughter because she has that killer instinct that we are looking for.
Yeah, she supports our show, and she makes sure that nobody's trying to get over on us.
She does. Well, I was in the Marines myself, so I...
So are Mike and I, and so is Buzz. So, you know,
now.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, too.
Semper Fi. All right, Dad.
All right, buddy.
Of course, Buzz served over in World War I.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Big one.
What was it like over there, Buzz?
Cold.
All right, sir, it's a pleasure talking to you. Tell your daughter, Sergeant Nina, that we called, and if she could give us a call back, tell her we got her letter.
I will try to get a hold of her now more than ever.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good show.
See you later.
Right, buddy.
Bye, Dad. Buzz with the same answer for every war we ever asked him about, going all the way back to the Peloponnesian War.
As far as I can remember, they were all cold.
They're all cold. We got a break. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Put orange wedges. The juice just dribbles down your chin. Junior, could I have just a drop of honey in this, please? Just a drop. Where's the actual fruit? It's covered with that thick, dark chocolate. You know?
Oh, boy. How'd you write this stuff one and I'm in a donut?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Don and Mike Show.
Happy birthday, Tracy, baby. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, the dance floor is open on the Best of Don and Mike. It's your old buddy, Rob Spiewak, here playing all the segments you want to hear. This next segment is great. We haven't played a game all today. Let's spin the wheel. Time to play affiliate roulette. Let's see who's listening out there as we call some of the greatest cities in the United States of America. It's affiliate roulette on the Best of Don and Mike.
Let's play affiliate roulette and see who's listening.
Hey.
And what they think of the show. How about this? Let's start in Wisconsin.
Where are we in Wisconsin? Is this Wausau?
We've got a lot of stations in Wisconsin.
We do?
We have Madison, Wisconsin.
Right, Mad
City. We have Sheboygan, Wisconsin. We have Superior, Wisconsin. We have Wausau, Wisconsin. How about Superior, Wisconsin?
Yeah. Superior, it never gives up for dead on the big lake they call Gitchigumi.
Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, maybe we tried that one before. Let's try Wausau.
Yeah. Wausau, that's what I want to do.
Have we tried?
Wausau.
And everybody remembers that from 60 Minutes,
yeah,
right?
From the commercial.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll call, because it's still, what time is it, Wisconsin? It's 10 till 5.
Now, is Wausau like a remote, like it sounds?
It's near Stevens Point, which is near the middle of nowhere.
All right.
I misdialed. Excuse me. Hold on a second. These are very small numbers.
Picture, if you will, a lonely radio outpost on a snow-covered field. With a lonely board operator who is also serving as the general manager and receptionist.
It would be one of those stations that's actually at the transmitter. Yes. Under the tower.
Yes, under the tower.
All right, so let's call WRIG.
Advanced Communications, this is Carrie.
Yes, hi, this is Don and Mike. We're on the radio right now on one of your stations on WRIG.
Okay.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Are you familiar with the program?
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Listen, we've never have had a chance to talk with anybody. We're playing affiliate roulette.
We call affiliates around the country to see how they're all doing.
We forgot to roll the little roulette wheel.
Spin the wheel.
And it's going to come up, I think it's going to come up on, yeah, Wausau. Wausau, Wisconsin. So we're calling you to find out how are things going at WRIG Wausau. How are things at WRIG?
Wonderful. It's actually a fair time right now.
It's fair time? You're going to be county fair?
Yes.
Yeah, hey.
Now, do you refer to the radio station as the rig?
Big rig.
The big rig.
Yeah, hey, at the state fair, like anyone good coming, like Clay Aiken?
Actually, not so much. This is just a little fair.
It's a little fair.
The big fair is in August.
Oh, so they have rides and cotton candy and all that good stuff?
Uh-huh.
That's wonderful.
Enough about that. Let's talk about our favorite topic, ourselves and our radio show.
Sure, and then maybe we could talk about you.
Yeah.
What do you like best about being able to sit at the front desk at WRIG and listen to this show every day?
You know, actually, I'm just filling in. You'd have to ask the normal receptionist that.
Really? What do you do at the radio station?
I'm the promotions director.
Oh, you are?
I am.
Wow. And how old are you, if we may ask?
24.
24, and are you married?
Not
married.
Hmm. Ike Meng?
Yeah, yes, Ande. Yes, yeah.
Is Shay. Uh-huh. Frey, Wisconsin way. equals A. Umpy Frey. Okay?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I know no, that.
Ely Ray. No.
Yes, I've spent a lot of time. Remember, that is the land of Dawn, my ex-wife.
Is your name Carrie?
A lot of friends and family in Wisconsin.
Carrie, the celebrity you most resemble.
That's a tough question. I don't know.
Is it Rosie O'Donnell?
Definitely not.
Okay. Well, you sound wonderful.
Yeah.
Please pass along our best wishes to all people at this radio station.
I will do that.
And tell them that we called.
The Don and Mike Show, you're in promotion, so you would know better than anybody else. The Don and Mike Show, is it doing gangbusters for the radio station?
Doing good.
That's good.
Doing good.
Uh-huh.
Anybody ever ask you about it before we called today?
Not me specifically, but I've definitely heard of it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That's how you play affiliate roulette. Let's spin the wheel again.
I hope we get a better one.
Let's spin that wheel again.
What's it going to stop on this time, Don?
Oh.
Mike, Palm Springs, California.
Oh, I love Palm Springs.
Palm Springs, California, radio station
La Quinta.
WGAM, where we are heard on some kind of tape delay so they can run it in the afternoon.
My memory of Palm Springs is checking out of a resort hotel and looking at my billing going, what?
Hold on a second, and
oh, my God. Seriously. I thought my hotel room was 50% cheaper than it was.
Wow. 7-6.
That's a lot. Scary. It's a big difference. Oh, yeah. That's why we get the free fruit.
Come on, hold on a second.
What? Is this area code sound right? 760.
That sounds a little... No, no, it doesn't, actually.
Cell phony.
325.
But Palm Springs, you know, truly, truly gorgeous, especially if you're a golfer.
Here we go. Calling radio station WGAM.
The Gam.
The Gam.
The Gam. You got the great gammer. Gams, baby.
Gammer. Here we go. Get ready to be bowled over with the excitement.
Good afternoon, our broadcasting.
Yes, good afternoon. Hi, this is Don and Mike. We're on your radio station or we'll be on later this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
On WGAM in Palm Springs.
We're playing affiliate roulette, and our little ball landed on Palm Springs. How are you today?
See, we're doing the show now. You're on the air, but it's not going to air for another like 4 or 5 hours because you run us on tape delay.
You'll hear this later.
That's right. Are you the receptionist at the radio station?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. What's your name?
What's happening, baby?
Patsy,
how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, this is going to go much better than with Carrie.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
Okay, sweetness.
Hi, baby. So this radio station in Palm Springs that you work at, that they run our show on, is it a good station or a bad station?
Our station's way cool.
Way cool. I like that.
Way cool, like me.
And, oh, like you.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, baby?
Hey, you want to know about me?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes, we do.
We do.
Well, I'm cool.
Okay.
You're cool.
Yeah, and, cool. I'm in air conditioning right now.
Can you tell, what is the current temperature in Palm Springs?
You know what, I think it's the high 90s right now.
I know that when I was watching Lisa Joyner this morning, you ever see her on Channel 2 in Los Angeles?
No.
Oh, boy, is she cute.
Oh, really?
She's so
hottie,
cute.
Huh?
She's so cute. She was saying it's going to be 110 today in Palm Springs.
What kind of car do you drive?
What kind of car do I drive?
Yep.
A Honda Accord.
Not a minivan, right?
Not a minivan.
Not a minivan.
Didn't think so.
Can you tell us something? And we don't want to be presumptuous here. We don't
what
want
the hell, a minivan? I mean, God.
Well, we're having some issues with minivans. And please excuse Rob.
Minivans are like way lame. Sorry for all you moms out there.
Let's give her a round of applause. Patsy, I like you.
You're way cool.
You are way cool.
Way lame, all right?
Right.
Every other word's way. If you wouldn't mind telling us, how popular are we in Palm Springs, our radio show?
Where are you again?
Oh, no, not going well out there?
Have you ever heard our show? They run it from 4 to 8 on your station.
Yeah.
4 to 8 p.m. when you might be leaving a hotel.
when I might be filing my nails at my desk or...
Yes, or something like that.
Phone call or...
Whatever you do. Yeah. So are you saying you don't have a chance to listen?
No, not really.
Not really.
That's Do you think you're going to listen now after having this wonderful personal contact with us?
I may.
You may? Oh, you may.
You may.
You're one of those girls. I'm going to tell you something, honey. You got to be a looker. You got to be a looker because you've got the attitude.
Yeah, are you a hottie?
Yes, I am.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
I am hot. I am on fire.
Are you, is this one of those radio companies where there are like 8 radio stations in the building?
There's 4.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, darling. Well, listen, for now, enjoy your good looks. How old are you?
30.
30. Oh.
30, baby. Hey.
That perfect in-between age, you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah.
Where's that little gold ring on your finger?
And I surely don't have one.
Sure.
Oh, what? God.
This is the second single receptionist we've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Doesn't that say something?
It's interesting. Well, the other lady was a promotions director, so I don't know if it follows in the profession.
On a scale of 1 to 10, please be telling me, how popular do you believe this radio show, the Don and Mike Show, is in Palm Springs, California? And don't worry about sparing our our feelings.
Yes, using a scale of 1 to 10.
10 being the best, 0 being nobody listens.
Mm-hmm. How it's the Don and Mike show.
How popular do you think our show is?
I'm gonna say it's a 10, and I've never heard the show, but just going by, you know, your personalities right now, you're probably a 10.
You work at the station.
Would there be anybody you would be aware of in the building, in the entire building, that may be considered a fan of our show?
Would you put us on hold?
Do you have an intercom system there in the station?
Yeah, actually I do.
Put us on hold, and here's what you say.
Okay.
Attention W or K, attention KGAM employees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Afternoon superstars, Don and Mike are on the phone and would like to talk with anybody who likes their show.
That's it.
Perfect. Could you do that for us?
I'll do that. Hang on one second.
Put us on hold. Much.
Okay.
She gave you a 10 just from talking to you.
If she comes back, you may want to tell her to watch out.
Why?
Here comes the wall.
She's about to hit that wall.
Yeah, it's around the corner. She might not see it coming.
She's way close.
Oh, she's 6 years closer than the other.
If I had a dollar for every time that broad said way. It's way cool. I'm way good. It's way the foundations. Like, this song is not played enough on the radio.
Well, it's in one of their four.
I understand.
One of their 20 radio stations.
Big oldies.
As we continue to pad.
Because remember, what she's done is put us on hold to find anybody in the radio station that broadcasts the show.
Yeah. In the actual facility that broadcasts
us. Anybody want to talk to Don and Mike? We're on the phone.
They're fighting over who gets to talk to you. And when they get that settled, somebody will pick up.
Maybe they're out selling.
The song is about 2.5 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to give it to the end of the song?
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to hang up.
Oh. Hold on. Do we have somebody? Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
You know what? It's Patsy again.
Patsy, please tell me you didn't find anyone.
You couldn't find anybody?
I found somebody.
Who?
His name's Jeff.
Will you put him on the phone?
What was that?
Will you put him on the phone,
please?
Yeah. Oh, okay, hang on.
That'd be way cool. Oh,
I'm on fire.
I'm attracted to you the most.
Here comes the wall again.
So, hey.
Jeff?
Hey.
Jeff?
Yes.
Hold on, we might have an affiliate roulette winner unless he's the program director.
Yeah, I think he's the program director.
Not a program director.
Not a program director?
Really? What do you do there at the radio station, Jeff?
Promotions
guy.
I get all that really crappy stuff we give out on the air.
Okay, and have you ever listened to our show tape delayed in the afternoon on your radio station?
Yes.
And how do you find it?
Be honest with us.
I found it on my dial. That was the first way.
No. How do you find it? Please be giving our show a 1 to 10 scale of your enjoyment level. And don't worry about our feelings. Yeah. If you don't like it, it's a 0. If you love it, it's a 10. What, you work at the radio station. What do you think of our show?
I can, you sure? I'm not going to hurt you guys. I can disregard your feelings and
your
opinion.
You want honesty.
I'd put it at about a 7.5.
7.5. All right. So you're enjoying the show.
Yeah.
I'll take that. That's a good thing. It's.
I don't like a 7.5. Well, Mike,
I wanted an 8.
How long have you been listening, Jeff?
I think a 7.5 is not bad when you consider it took her almost an entire Build Me Up Buttercup to find one guy that even knew that we were on.
It's better than a goose egg.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
Thank you for your time.
Have a great day in California in beautiful, sweltering Palm Springs.
Well, thank you. No prize for the roulette?
Hold on, I got a prize for you. You get to talk with one of our favorite celebrities.
Oh, I just hung up on the guy.
Oh.
Who was that?
The celebrity is on the phone. I accidentally hung up on the guy in Palm Springs.
Oh, dear.
Hello, mystery celebrity.
Yes. How you all doing out there, guys?
Hey. What's happening, Tom?
Who could it be?
Hey.
Hey, Tom.
Guys. Hey, Don and Mike.
Tom, how you spell radio?
R-O-A-D-I-O.
Right.
Rodeo.
How you spell Palm Springs.
Palm Springs?
Uh-huh.
P-L-U-M.
Right.
S-P-R-I-N-G.
Plum String.
Palm Spring.
Palm Perfect. Spring, Mike. Tom, what's happening?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Tom?
Good.
Oh, today's Wednesday. Did you eat at the group home?
Watch it.
But did you? What'd you have for breakfast?
Nothing. I went on a trip down to Charlottesville. We took some stuff down there. I was on a courier business this morning.
You were a courier today?
Yeah, we took a lot of stuff down to University of Virginia.
Did you drop off your application?
Nope.
Yeah. No, you didn't.
Nope.
So, Tom.
Yeah.
Who are you for president?
President Bush.
That's right.
Why is that? Why are you for Bush?
The first one.
Because he's my president.
And how do you feel about minivans?
Good.
Yeah, good.
Very good.
How do you spell Bush?
B-A-S-A.
You never fail to amaze me,
Tom.
You're
wrong.
The Bash Brothers.
We'll be right back. Stay right there.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ed Rooney's office.
This is George Peterson.
Oh, please hold.
Ed Rooney.
Ed, this is George Peterson.
How are you today, sir?
Well, we've had a bit of bad luck this morning, as you may have heard.
Yeah, I heard, and I'm all broken up. Boy, what a blow.
Yeah. Well, it's been a tough morning, and we've got a lot of family business to take care of, so if you wouldn't mind excusing Sloan, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Yeah, you just produce a corpse, and I'll release Sloan.
Did you say you wanted to see a body?
You don't like my policies. You can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt.
Ed.
Pucker up, Buttercup.
What? Ferris Bueller's online, too.
I think I owe you an apology, sir.
Well, I should say you do.
Well,
I think you should be sorry, for Christ's sake. A family member dies, and you insult me. What the hell is the matter with you, anyway?
I really don't know, sir. I mean, I didn't think I was talking to you. I thought I was talking to somebody else. You know, sir, that I would never deliberately insult you like that. I can't begin to tell you how embarrassed I am.
What?
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Oh, you're absolutely right, sir. You've hit the nail right in the head.
This isn't over yet, Buster. Do you read me?
Loud and clear, Mr. Peterson.
Call me sir, goddammit.
Yes, 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 sir, yes, sir.
The Don and Mike Show.
I should say you do. Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
NFL Hall of Famer Sonny Jurgensen.
Thank you so much for joining us. It is the best of Don and Mike. It's your old buddy Rob Spiewak in the driver's seat playing some great stuff. Good show today. I liked it. We got time for one more segment. Well, you can't go wrong with this because it's sexy. It's Buzz makes the sexy call on the best of Don and Mike.
Soon we find the woman who has the message that we think is the sexiest.
Right.
Buzz will call the husband.
Right.
Hello, Jenny.
Yes, hello.
My Jenny.
Jenny.
Hello, Jenny. Jenny, now is your husband your boyfriend?
No, he's my husband.
Your husband, and what's his name?
Noah.
Noah. And what would you like Buzz to say to Noah that you are too shy to say yourself? Hence the game, Buzz makes the sexy call for you.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can say this.
Be
careful.
Jenny, bear with us. Now, everybody knows we don't do the same show we did before the FCC.
Right.
But there's still no reason that we can't have fun. You can describe, for instance, your husband. If you'd like, I don't want to write it for you. If you wanted Buzz to say that your husband is very tight buttocks, that would be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I wish that you somehow... Buzz, write that down.
I've made a note of it.
No matter what Noah's buttocks are like, they're tight and muscular.
Or lack thereof.
What? Or lack thereof. Well, no, let's just keep it with tight buttocks.
Yeah, lack thereof. All right, so Noah's one fine physical specimen, is he?
You know, I could just sit here and you all could write it for me.
Now, what do you want? What do you want Buzz to say? He's right here for you.
I'm here, man.
Hi, Buzz. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I would like for you to call my husband. Now, this is coming off the cuff here.
Uh-huh.
And tell him that when I get home tonight, I would like to... Let me start my car here. I would like to touch all over his sexy hard body.
Uh-huh. Baby.
Would you like to run your fingers all over his sexy hard body?
Through all of the hair all over his sexy hard body.
The hair. He's a hairy man?
Yes.
He's a sexy hairy man?
Do you want, and again, I don't want to write this for you, but do you want deep soul kisses?
Lots of full kisses, and can I say that?
Oh, no, you can't. No, just, you know.
Yeah.
You can say hot,
tongues intertwined with flame.
You're good at
boy. You're getting really good at this, John.
Okay.
Can we get somebody besides Jenny?
You don't like Jenny? You don't like Jenny, Mike?
Too much. Made all these.
No. Okay, Jenny. Goodbye. I thought we had written a beautiful script. Here's Jen. Hello, Jen.
Hi.
Hi, Jen. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
What's the lucky stiff's name?
My husband's name is John.
Buzz, keep all that stuff that we had about the other guy. What is it that you would like Buzz to say to your husband, John, in a sexy manner that you would say to your husband if you had the guts? What would you say?
Well, he's had a very long, hard day, and I would like to make it completely relaxing for him. I would start by massaging his feet, massaging his back.
Yes.
Massaging other parts of his body.
Okay, we got that. And Buzz, you can say all of that.
Yeah.
And he's a very big man. He's 6'6".
Wow.
Oh.
And I'm 5'2", so.
Oh, wow.
You're tiny and he's big.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe you'd like him to be your Mount Everest.
Exactly. And I would like to mount that, to climb Mount Everest.
You would like to climb Mount Everest.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
And your level of desire for your husband is what? Please to be putting a number on it for Buzz to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 27.
27.
Level is 27.
Oh, that one. Thin air, didn't
you? One out of 10, 27. That's my number.
Okay.
That's your number.
Interesting.
Okay. Can we go with her? Do you want to hear another one?
Yeah, let's go with her.
Fine with me.
We can hear another one if you like.
Well, whatever you want to do.
Bring in her husband's number and let's see what's doing here. Here's Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Hi, Pam. What's your husband's name?
Tony.
What is it that you would like Buzz to say to your husband, Tony?
Well, at the moment he's out cutting grass, so I'd like to kiss him all over his sweaty grass-cutting body.
Kiss him all over his sweaty grass-cutting body.
Now we might be getting somewhere. Mm.
Give us more. Give us more.
Tell us more, please.
Well, I like the Mount Everest thing.
Oh, you see, you can't. I can't steal.
Plagiarism.
You can't steal.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have Jen's,
We do.
You got it?
No. I'm going to call Jen's husband, John.
Give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second, John.
And then Buzz takes over.
Yes. Right. Baltimore 410.
Because nobody does it quite like Buzz.
He's the sexy one on the
show. I speak the language of love.
No doubt about that. You have the,
Hi, Don.
Who's this, please?
Oh, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob Spiewak, how are you?
Speaking. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rob.
How are you?
This is Rob going to get the permission now for this guy, John.
Hi, John.
So we'll get the permission now to put his voice on the air.
Good, I hope so.
We have your lovely lady, what's her name?
Jen.
Jen
on the phone. She's won a contest.
Let me get her here.
Come on the air with
her. Hey, Jen?
Yes?
Okay, we're getting your husband now.
Okay.
I'm gonna.
You got his permission, Don.
I'm gonna park you for a second. I mean, I'm gonna leave your line open, but I'm gonna turn it down so your husband won't be able to hear you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And then here we go. Let's welcome now to the Don and Mike Show. This is John. Hi, John.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air. Just to prove to you that your wife is on the line, Jen, say hi to your husband.
Hi, honey.
Hey.
Okay, now we're going to put her back in the isolation booth. We're playing a little game called Buzz Makes the Sexy Call.
And your wife has enlisted the services of Buzz Burbank to communicate for her.
Okay.
All right.
Buzz is our news guy, and he's a sexual being.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, here's a message.
Good choices.
Here's a message.
And sexual goddess.
Here's a message from Buzz to you.
John, how you doing, my man?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Jen says you're a big man, John.
Uh-huh.
She thinks of you as a big, big man.
Okay.
And she says you've had a long, hard day.
Sweet.
So you're a petite lady, and we know she's a lady, making her too shy to say this to her, to you herself. But she wants to take your long, hard day and make it relaxing. She wants to give you some deep soul kisses, John. Jen wants to massage your feet, your back.
What about his buttocks?
Your tight buttocks.
I don't know about the tight part, but go ahead.
Jen thinks
of
you.
That's what she said, too.
Jen thinks of you, John, the big man, as Mount Everest. And she wants to Mount Everest.
Okay.
Jen wants to turn you out tonight and turn your day around, John.
Tanya, Buzz is great at the news, but this is like his natural, God-given talent.
Yeah. I can see that.
John, Jen is too shy to tell you this, but she thinks of you as the e-ticket. Pay one price, ride all day. That's what Jen has to say
pretty
to you.
Strong, Bud. That's pretty strong, Bud.
Well, not about her, but what about you?
Oh, it's the magic
of
Buzz.
I'm not gay, but I'm willing to learn.
Oh, Jesus.
Call me in the office.
Jen?
Yes?
You hear that?
I heard that.
I think your husband might be going the other way.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Jen.
Might be something on this show that we call Charlie Stossel disease. That might happen. Nevertheless, Jen, you've won $500 in Georgetown Laser Loot.
Woohoo!
GeorgetownLaser.com. Georgetown Laser making the world a better place. One hair at a time.
One
hair at a time. Oh, thank you, sexy Buzz. Jen, do you have any unneeded, unwanted hair you'd like to get lasered off?
Well, we all do.
Good answer, Jen.
Can I join in on that?
Yeah, you can. John, is there, without being specific, an area that you would like your wife to just say yes? Sir. Is there one area you'd like her to get a haircut in?
Bikini line.
Bikini line.
Oh, bikini line.
Fantastic.
I like to wear the banana hammock, so, you know.
Okay. Well, this is how we play. Sexy Buzz makes the call for you.
Good job, kids.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Jen, thank you. Hold on a second. Jen, thank you for listening. And John, I believe Buzz has a special goodbye for you.
I'm waiting.
John. Buzz, just give him some more, whatever you got.
You and Jen have a good night.
Oh, come on. You can do better than that.
I agree you can, Buzz.
A good night.
Hey, there you go. I like the emphasis on the ooh.
All right. He's out.
Go back to your cards a little bit. Some of this. Oh, you already threw your cards away?
Enjoy the climb on Mount Everest.
Okay, there we go.
I can't stand it anymore.
You got another one, Buzz?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thank you, John.
John's getting too excited.
Yeah. Thank you. Hold on. Are you getting excited, John, by this?
A little bit.
Yeah. What I tell you. He can't help it.
He can't help it. Man,
who can resist?
How have Mike and Rob and I managed it all these years? Just jumping through the glass and attacking you. Throwing you on the floor like a rag doll.
Wow. Let's say you've managed.
For those of you kind enough to stick around, the cart did misfire, so I will just sing this. Sorry, we're out of time. Join us tomorrow for another episode of The Best of Don and Mike, and go ahead and label this tape professional. So long.